Okay, let's move on from one awful segment to another
awful
segment.
To a great segment, because it's Wednesday and it's time for the Wheel O' Bad Animal Voices.
Yay!
Here are the stories on the wheel. The gay vulture raising a chick in Amsterdam. The Indian cyclops goat. This is a long one. The 132-year-old lobster released into the ocean by a seafood restaurant after 20 years in captivity.
Wow.
We couldn't get a headline for that one. We had to read the whole story.
That's the old lobster.
Drunk peacock that trashed a liquor store.
Oh, I love him.
The CIA cats spying on Russia.
Yeah,
I'm very intrigued by that story as well.
And Star, the deer stuck in a drain.
Oh,
Star, the deer stuck in a drain.
I hope it doesn't land on Star. That sounds like a bummer. Let's do it.
It's time for the Wheel of Animal Voices. Where do you think it's gonna land?
Don't know.
It's gonna be pretty bad, but Kevin and me don't care, so we'll do it anyway. It's time for the Wheel of Animal Voices.
Alrighty, let's spin the wheel and find out who we're gonna call for more information on the story. Who are you rooting for here, Allie?
Piggy Smalls.
Piggy Smalls is not on the wheel anymore.
Oh.
It's the gay vulture raising a chick in Amsterdam.
Yay!
All right. I am interested in this story. So here's what happened. An egg was found on the floor of the vulture aviary in the zoo in the Netherlands. So originally the zookeepers put it in an incubator, and then they thought, hey, we've got vultures in there. They're dudes, but let's maybe put the egg in with them and see what happens. I'm very confused about the story because at some point there had to be a lady vulture in there or there wouldn't have been an egg in the first place, right? But for whatever reason, no lady vulture appears in this story.
Mm-hmm.
So they give it to the dudes and they take turns sitting on the egg until it hatches.
Aww.
And now they're raising the chick like the mom would do, feeding it the regurgitated food and the whole deal. So this baby vulture has two dads.
That's
it's kind of a sweet story because otherwise you've got an egg that's just laying there and nobody's looking after it.
So do we have the zookeeper in Netherlands?
Let's find out. I think that was the plan is to get a representative from the zoo in the Netherlands to talk to us about the story. Hello there.
Hello.
Hi, this is K-Rock Radio, Kevin and Bincha. Who's this, please?
This is Mark.
Hi, Mark. Are you the zookeeper?
No, I'm not the zookeeper. He's not here right now. Can I help you?
What do you do there at the zoo, sir?
I flap my wings and I raise my child.
Oh, you're one of the vultures.
Yes. That's yes in vulture.
Oh, I see. And who's your partner, Mark?
Ted.
Mark and Ted. All right. Okay. Well, congratulations. Is this unusual in your species to have two males raise an infant?
Well, that's sexist.
Well, no, I just don't know.
I'm asking. I like you already.
No, I'm asking out of ignorance. I don't know.
You sure are. No, it's not uncommon for gay vultures to have a relationship. Mm-hmm. I've been partnered with Ted for 11 years.
Oh, wow.
We've been together, which is mm-hmm. longer than a lot of other marriages, I can say. Alice.
Oh, Alice, what did she do?
She's a vulture also here in the aviary.
Okay.
She's been with like three dudes.
Oh,
so, I see.
Right, we're supposed to be promiscuous? I don't think so. Or...
let's not shame Alice, the vulture.
I'm not shaming her. She's a whore.
All right.
I'm making it up. It's like I don't know her.
Who are you,
lady?
I'm just protecting
you. Do you know Alice?
I don't.
Then why don't you mind your own beeswax?
Okay.
You sound sensitive and irritated.
No,
I got to be honest.
Because, you know, people say, oh, two men together raising a child. That's unnatural. Oh, that's unnatural. Let me tell you something. I'm a vulture, okay? I'm nature personified. I'm in nature. I'm doing it.
Right.
It's very natural.
Yeah, and a lot of birds do form same-sex couples.
Thank you. Hello.
Okay, we're back.
It's very hard, like this congressperson in... Did you watch this election yesterday in Georgia, this Karen Handel?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the special election down there for the seat,
oh,
right?
Oh,
yeah.
She's just a bitch. Did you hear what she said about gay marriage?
I did not know.
I'll play the clip.
All right.
For anyone who wants to say that marriage is something other than between a man and a woman... I say bring it on.
Can you believe her? Let me out of this cage. I need to fly to Georgia. I'll bring it on. She's got a 9-foot wingspan in her face.
Take care of her.
On. I have a bone to pick with her. Literally, that's what I do. I'm a vulture. I pick it up.
That is what you do.
That's what I do. I don't need her and her judgy attitude, okay?
Right.
I don't need you either judging me, Alan.
Oh, Alice again.
Not Alice, Alan.
Oh, Alan.
He's a flamingo in the cage next door, always giving me the stink eye.
Oh, okay.
You're a flamingo. You're pink. You were kidding. You're not kidding anyone, Alan. I want you to come out. Oh, my God. He's a bitch.
A lot of drama there at the zoo today.
You would think homophobia would just die off. You know, like old birds would just be, that's for old birds. But
right.
No, they pass along like a birth defect.
Oh, that sucks.
Like ticks or mites or something. It's just awful.
Oh, I didn't realize.
Sorry.
So it's hard enough that Ted and I now have a newborn that we have to deal with. We have to deal with all these judgy bitches here in the zoo.
Right.
It's unbelievable.
I'm
Attention!
Sorry.
This is how bad bitches raise an egg. You bitches can't even spell eggs, okay?
Saturday, April 1st at the Shrine Auditorium is going to be this year's Kevin Amin April Foolishness. We are minutes away from giving you your tickets to join us that night for Bill Burr and Angela Johnson, David Koechner, Jimmy Pardo, Adam Ray, Jonah Ray, Taylor Williamson. It's going to be a great, great night. Tickets on sale now through Axis.com. We'll tell you how to call and win in minutes. I was alerted last week, Kevin, and I saved this until you got back from vacation.
Great.
There is a new thread on Reddit that I think you will be interested in, and it is called What's Your Kevin Like?
I don't know that I approve.
I'm starting to see a trend among people named Kevin. And it was a little bit of a surprise to me. I kind of thought you were a little bit of an outlier, but apparently many people have a Kevin in their life. Apparently, we are not the only ones, you guys.
Here's what I know. I do know that in media, in TV shows and movies, if there's a character named Kevin, he's the idiot. The Office, right?
Right.
I mean,
right.
Really, he's the idiot. That's how it happens.
Now, the one exception that comes to mind, though, is the Home Alone kid was the smartest guy in the room, right?
Sure.
He was a Kevin.
Yeah,
so you got,
Kevin.
You got him on your side,
not
right?
Bad.
Kevin Bacon was on The Tonight Show one time, and he brought this up, and I think we've played this before, but it's worth revisiting.
I don't like the name Kevin.
You don't like it? Kevin, to me, it's just never sounded right. Like, it's like, and they've done studies that teachers are predisposed to not like Kevins.
Really?
It's true, because they tend to be troublemakers.
Yeah.
And in certain cultures, I think it's someplace in the U.K., to call somebody a Kevin is an insult. You know, he's a Kevin. You know, it's like, and if you look at movies, a lot of times they'll take the a-hole and they'll name him Kevin. It's just,
Now, so just like you're saying, you've read it that all the time.
Why are they the troublemakers? Like, how does that make sense?
I don't know.
Any name leads in the list of troublemakers.
I don't know. There was another article recently about how Kevin is an insult in France as well. For whatever reason, Kevin, because it seems
I don't like France either. How about that?
Seems like a perfectly reasonable name. So anyway, what's your Kevin like? I thought it might be fun to take a look at this Reddit thread and see some of the see some of the stories and see if maybe this sounds like our Kevin. If invited over, Kevin shows up 3 to 4 hours after the time you specify. We tell Kevin a much earlier time than everyone else to compensate.
How often
have we done that, Allie, when we've had public appearances?
Not all.
After we've arrived, he'll announce he'll have to run to the store real quick. Make yourselves at home. No problem. One time he came back 3 hours later with no dinner. That's there, Kevin.
I'm going to ding everyone that is true of me as well.
Okay,
good. My Kevin accidentally made a concussion grenade out of a disposable water bottle and a can of compressed air.
Close enough.
Do I ring the bell if I'm going to?
Basically, he sprayed some of the can of keyboard cleaner into an empty water bottle while the can was upside down, causing some of the pressurized liquid to come out. The liquid then expanded to the point of the bottle exploding like a grenade. It didn't help that Kevin had also put it in a sink of hot water that made it both expand faster and got water everywhere.
I'm so disappointed in myself that I haven't done that.
He deafened everyone in the room for a solid minute. All right, here's my favorite. My Kevin is like Napoleon Dynamite mixed with a lamp. He has this dog. It's very unfortunate. It's a small, runty little thing, and it has the tendency to run into the path of moving vehicles. Kevin by no means intends to run over his dog so many times, but the dog just does not seem to understand the concept of physics when Kevin is driving in a car and ATV. So far, the dog has run into the path of his car multiple times, the lawnmower a few times, the local garbage truck, and the aforementioned ATV on multiple occasions. The dog is perfectly healthy despite all these impacts. The dynamite... lamp hybrid Kevin, who owns the dog, named the dog after himself.
So there's the problem.
I was going to say the dog is Kevin.
The dog is a Kevin. My Kevin went away to summer camp for 2 weeks, returned unshowered, complete with dead bugs in his hair.
Oh.
This then resulted in an unfortunate buzz cut for the next 2 years of his life. That's his Kevin.
All right, let me ask.
Thank you, Chip. I don't think you're left.
Let me ask you a question. Could you find these types of stories about any name?
Or is it all really?
I think
Kevin?
Maybe it's just mostly Kevin.
I think it's mostly Kevin, yeah. Last time we were at a party at our house at around 1 a.m., there was a blood-curdling scream in my roommate's bedroom. Everyone stopped what they were doing to go see what would happen. In the room was Kevin, pants around his ankles, and the fattest girl at the party, with a 1,000-yard stare and vomit everywhere. He was mid-sex when he realized he was going to throw up, but he tried to hold it and wound up destroying my roommate's mattress, sheets, curtains, and chair, and giving that poor girl PTSD.
Aww.
That's an unfortunate party. My Kevin likes to eat other people's food at work. Kevin is not liked by many of his peers. Some Kevins just want to watch the world burn. My Kevin is my uncle. He bought 8 Christmas trees just because they were so cheap.
That's not me. Thank you.
A couple more. Oh, my favorite. I worked for a Kevin who I sued for sexual harassment and work hour issues. He was the worst I ever encountered. He's the Kevin to whom I hold all Kevins against. So I assume if your name is Kevin, you're pretty terrible. Sorry. P.S. I also have a cousin, Kevin, who's in prison for attempted manslaughter.
Oh, my.
All right. That seems like that's not our Kevin. That's
not
definitely
me.
Not our Kevin. My Kevin once mooned a lady in Winn-Dixie. My Kevin used to wear Furby underwear. My Kevin goes to a Mexican restaurant and orders the chicken strips and fries. Oh, here's one for you, Kevin. Dude, the Kevin I know is lit as F. He's super chilled. No one hates him. Kevin is an effing G, this
yes!
guy says. Whoa.
Chip, stop. Chip, change it to a buzz.
This is really more our Kevin. My Kevin puts his phone right up to his butt and Snapchats me his farts almost every morning. That is definitely our Kevin. And here's one more. My Kevin worked the closing shift at a liquor store. After the day was done, he had to mop the floors and go to the back to turn off all the lights. Except this was too difficult, and no matter how many switches he flipped, there was always at least one light left on. Finally, after weeks of this going on, Kevin left the wrong switch flipped on the nightly attempt, and the meat freezer was left turned off all night, leading to all the deli meat spoiling and needing to be thrown out. Eventually, the store owner just accepted that he would have to drive by after closing and turn off the lights himself because Kevin couldn't figure it out.
Oh,
that Kevin
man.
Was me, is what this Reddit guy writes.
Oh.
So this is a Kevin turning himself in. So we could be doing a lot worse with our guy.
Right? That's my point.
Nice work, Kevin.
Man, Omar's got a lot of rules.
Being right all the time is very hard.
What's happening?
Very hard, guys.
All right, listen. It's Kevin Beecher, world-famous K-Rock. Thanks so much for tuning in. Tonight there is a special on television that, Omar, I don't know if you're going to love this or not, because I know you have a lot of very specific rules about how people are allowed to decorate their homes for holidays.
Yep.
But tonight is the return of the Great Christmas Light Fight.
I love the light fight.
You
love the light fight.
So
it is
good.
So awesome.
Really?
I aspire to be these people.
Okay.
Yeah.
But
what,
they're
awesome.
Awesome.
These are the houses where the people have 6 million Christmas lights on their house. Okay?
So the best.
And you can see them from space. Now, here's my question for you.
Have you been gathering lights?
You know,
I mean,
so,
are you
going to,
at some point, just bust them all out?
I hope so.
Yeah.
Well, it's like, you know, when I had my kids, before I had my kids, I was like, I put a little bit of here thing, but now, like, they're so excited about it.
Right.
I keep adding to my collection,
yeah.
You know? So in another 5 years...
You're
going to
be so annoying to your neighbors.
I'm going to burn this mother down. Yeah.
That's,
totally.
That's my question. Is there a point at which the Christmas decorations go from being, oh, it's so nice that family's in the holiday spirit and they make the neighborhood so pretty too, that's a problem. I can't sleep because it's so bright, or they've got music playing because it's so loud, or now it's getting to the point where it's attracting traffic because
no.
people want to come by and see the lights. Isn't there a point at which you become a problem for your neighbors if you overdo the decorations?
Nope, absolutely not.
Really?
Because you do it from like 6 p.m. to 11 p.m. and they're off. You don't keep them running all night long. And come on, a-hole, you don't have Christmas spirit?
Right.
Get off my lawn. Bah humbug on you.
Wow. All right, so what are some of the rules you have for other people's Christmas decorations? Because, Omar, you're so into your own decorations that do you give a lot of side eye to your neighbors if they're not doing it the way you think they should?
Well, you know, I was disappointed in my neighbor this year because usually they do a pretty good job. They put, like, reindeer out there.
Are those the meth dealers?
No.
Oh,
no,
okay.
No.
The
meth dealers don't even try. I hate them.
Which is a shame because they could get so much done if they just started
up
right.
That is true. They have this column in front of their house, and all they did is wrap some Christmas lights around the column. That was it. And they call it done. I thought that was weak. Yeah,
weak.
For sure. But the weakest of all, and this is a huge pet peeve, and I'm seeing it more and more, and it's throughout my neighborhood this year, is the lazy laser lights. So it's this little laser that you plop out facing your home,
right.
And it shoots out little red and green laser lights,
okay,
yeah,
onto your house,
lights,
yeah,
onto the house,
and it kind of
and
moves a
you?
Little bit because they call it that. That's it. That's done.
Oh, that's all they do.
That's all they do. They
I
don't.
See.
It's not an addition to their other decorations. If it was, I would have no problem with it. But this is
so it's lazy.
It's lazy. It's way lazy.
Huh.
That's not decorating your house for Christmas. That's not the Christmas spirit. Get out of here.
But does it look good?
Go to Mexico.
Does it look good, though?
No, it's terrible. It doesn't look good. You can't even, like, you're. It's like
what
a
if they're
weird
not from Mexico?
Thing.
Do they still have to go to Mexico?
Yes.
Wow.
What if they moved here from Connecticut? Do they still have to go to
Mexico? Go to Mexico.
But wait, I don't understand. If it looks good and it's holiday
it doesn't
and it's
look
festive.
Good.
Oh, it doesn't.
It doesn't look good. It takes a little bit, like, oh, that's what they're doing.
Oh, so
you know what I mean? It's not like, oh, that's decorations. It takes a little time to figure out that's what
your
they're doing.
Your complaint is not that you don't. Is not that you hate that. It's that they don't just add that on to everything else. They just do that
alone. They just
alone.
Do that. Yeah, that's unacceptable to me.
Unacceptable.
Unacceptable.
Is the problem that you don't think it's worth it unless you put a certain number of hours into your decorations? Like if it's too easy,
if
you don't give them the credit? Like do you have a problem with the pre-decorated and pre-lit Christmas trees, for instance? Are those people weak sauce because their trees are already ready to go the minute they take them out of the box?
No, because you have the lights, but you have to add ornaments and, you know, tweak it out and make it your own.
Okay.
So that's fine. You know, that's all
Omar
good.
Will allow it.
Thank you. But, yeah, it just to me, it's lazy and it doesn't look good. Like, if it looked great, like, oh, they have these little projectors now.
Right.
That they project, like, this entire Christmas scene on. If you have, like, a light colored garage,
right.
It looks awesome. So that's kind of cool. But also, just don't do that.
Still lazy,
but just don't do that.
Add that.
Right,
okay.
Exactly. That's
wow, you got
thing.
A lot of rules.
Absolutely,
right?
Yeah, for sure.
Wow.
Well, maybe Omar can help us with some callers at 1-800-520-1067. If they've got some complaints, what are we looking for? Complaints about
decorations in the neighborhood that drive you crazy, like Omar's, where he just can't stand it when they only use the laser.
Yeah.
So 1-800-520-1067 is the number. It's Kevin and Bean's Christmas Court. Next.
All right. It's supposed to be the most wonderful time of the year, but apparently some people's Christmas decorations are cheesing off other people, like Omar, who has a lot of rules and restrictions about what's allowed and what's not allowed. What's this feature going to be called here, Kevin?
It's Kevin and Bean's Christmas Court.
Christmas Court?
Kevin and Bean will listen to your case and rule. Are those decorations allowed? Or should that person be sent to jail?
I don't think we're sending people to jail.
The litigants are now entering the courtroom for Kevin and Bean's Christmas Court. Will the decorations be allowed? Or will you be sentenced to death?
Death.
Wow.
Right, where are we starting?
Could we start with line 8, please, bailiff? Will you bring line 8 in front of the judge?
Kara is now entering the courtroom. She's from Laguna Niguel. This is the case of the gassy Saint Nick.
Kara, good morning. Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. What's the problem in front of the court here today?
By the way, gassy Saint Nick.
If it's the gassy Saint Nick, I think thumbs up.
Thumbs up, right?
Wow, I really wish I could take credit for the gassy Saint Nick, but unfortunately, I did not come up.
All right,
with
what
that
is it? Explain it to us.
The gassy Saint Nick is the inflatable Santa that people have in front of their houses or various other decorations, like inflatable snowmen. Mm-hmm. It drives me insane.
So you hate all inflatables.
What's your problem with them? Why don't you like them?
I'm with Omar. I just think it's really lazy. Like, hang up some Christmas lights.
Okay.
Like, if they had that and some Christmas lights, I wouldn't hate it so much. But if it's just the Santa, it's super lazy.
Oh, it's just one Santa. That's it. That's the entire decoration. It's not like a group of inflatables.
Yeah. Okay. Or sometimes it's a group of inflatables, which I really just think is a waste of money.
Really? Inflatables are awesome.
Really?
Oh,
really?
Wow. He's turning on Kara.
I would not have predicted this. Only inflatables?
No, inflatables are awesome. I love
it. Okay.
Yeah. It's time for a ruling from Kevin and Bean's Christmas Court.
I guess inflatables are awesome.
It sounds like it. Wow. Sorry, Kara. You
rest
were denied.
Rest in peace, Kara.
Thank you for calling. Let's go to, how about line 7, Bailiff? Let's see what Julie's got going on.
Now entering the courtroom, Julie from Orange, California. She's got the problem. It's a case of the obnoxious neighbor.
Ooh.
Julie. Hi, Julie.
What's going on with your neighbor?
Well, each year we battle it out over who's going to put up more lights. So this year he started a little early.
Oh,
I'm looking at it right now.
Son of a bitch.
He has no theme. It's Star Wars. It's Charlie Brown. It's the flying reindeer. And then over on the left, he's got the manger.
The mix match.
And so, you know, it's so obnoxious that I'm thinking, and you tell me if this is okay, I have these 8-foot mirrors that I'm thinking of putting in my yard just so when you drive by, it reflects and bounces off my mirrors to see what he's got. And I just wanted to see if that was okay with Omar.
Mm. I'm not even sure I understand that.
You're going
to steal your neighbor's decorations by putting mirrors up in your yard.
Yeah.
It's time for Kevin and Bean to rule in Kevin and Bean's Christmas Court.
Kevin and Bean don't even understand the case.
I think it's so crazy, I like it.
We're down with Julie.
I'm not lazy. I have 15 different...
All right, take it easy. We ruled in your favor, for God's sakes. Move along. All right.
Case dismissed.
Bailiff, can we go to line 6, please? I think we've got a problem on the line.
Now entering the courtroom, Josh from Woodland Hills. Icicle, you-sickle, we all scream for icicle.
Oh. Hey, Josh, Judge Omar is in session. What's the problem in front of him, please?
Hey, how you guys doing?
We are good. Thanks.
I feel like you're kind of taking this conversation backwards with that, though.
How are you, Josh?
I'm sorry. No, my neighbor lives on a corner that we have to go from 45 to 25.
Right.
And he has these icicle-like decorations that kind of do this Matrix rain thing.
Right.
Oh. And it's a very big house, and it's very distracting because I'm a big fan of the Matrix. So every time I've taken that turn so far, I've darn near hit the fire hydrant.
Sorry, wait. Hold, please. Hold on, Josh.
No!
It's the case of, hey, look over there, something shiny.
That's exactly it. Josh can't help himself.
Because he likes the Matrix.
It's the case of, oh, squirrel.
I love Josh.
What is going on?
Josh denied, sir. I mean, that's really only a problem for you.
Yeah, it's on you, Josh.
Denied.
Kevin and Bean have ruled in Kevin and Bean's Christmas Court. Our next case is now entering the courtroom.
I think our next case is going to be Carla, if you don't mind, on line 4, please. Felix.
Carla from La Puente is now entering the courtroom. Her neighbor has a case of year-round Christmas.
No, no.
Big no-no.
It's on. Right.
Carla, what's happening?
Hi, good morning. So, I'm not complaining about the decorations. It's really, really pretty. But they moved in about 4 years ago, and they have not removed them.
Ooh! So year-round, 4 years of those decorations in their yard.
Now,
do they turn them on in the, you know, February, March, April time?
No, no, it's just December. And
Shut up, Bailiff.
It's February time?
Everything. Oh, and some of the
palm trees
still
have
oil on it.
I feel like that would be annoying.
Oh, well,
Omar, what's your ruling on that?
Yeah.
That's annoying.
Come February, you got to take him down.
Right. Okay.
Kevin and Bean's Christmas Court will now make its ruling.
How did this work again? You got to take him down.
You say that, Omar, but what's the caller supposed to do? You can't go. Can she go over to somebody else's house and ask them to take them down or no?
No,
you put on the ski mask
in the middle. Yeah, you take them down yourself. Come on, what's wrong with you, Bean?
Come on, Bean, get it together.
Kevin and Bean, Christmas vigilante.
All right, Carla, looks like it's on you. Thank you, Judge. Thank you, Bailiff.
This has been Kevin and Bean's Christmas Court.
106.7
yep.
K-Rock.
Said
K-R-O-Q.
That. Just said that.
L.A. and O.C.'s rock alternative. And it's L.A. and O.C.'s alternative rock. What can I say?
Well, you can try saying it the right way the first time. But thank you very much, Rod. I'm so fascinated with this story. I have so many questions about Master Wei Yaobin. He is the Iron Crotch Kung Fu Master.
Yeah.
Iron Crotch.
You heard me correct. The Iron Crotch Kung Fu Master. And he's the news right now. He lives in central China in the city of Luoyang. And apparently he has figured out a way to not only absorb blows to the crotch and not have it hurt, but teaching others how to do it. People, this video, and I think we have a clip we're going to play here in a second. This video of the Iron Crotch Kung Fu Master has people like whacking him with baseball bats right in the testicles.
Oh my.
Yeah, battering rams and kicks and bricks.
Yes.
All to the crotch.
No.
To the crotch.
Yes.
How does he, I mean, is this, the only thing I can think is this mind over matter? Is somehow he has been able to disassociate whatever would cause us pain because his mind is so powerful that he figures out a way to make his body not feel anything?
I have no idea, but the video shows him over and over, just quick edit after quick edit of him getting hit in the nads.
Let me hear some of that. Could we please?
这打拳我是从小学的学，两七岁都开始学的这打拳，因这个。
Tell me how much you want to hear.
Yeah, that's not even.
I'm not hearing any blows to the balls yet. All right, that may not be useful. That may not be.
Oh, you're missing. You just missed it right there.
Oh, did I? Did they hit him?
You just missed the nut hits. Here we go. Just one right after another.
Like people lining up?
Yes.
People lining up to hit this dude in the gonads.
Oof.
So like I said, we have many questions. We asked Dave if there's any way we could get the Iron Crotch Kung Fu Master on the phone, and I believe he joins us right now. Hello there. Is this Master Wei Yaobin?
Yes, this is Wei Yaobin.
Oh, you speak English well. That's good.
Thank you so much.
It was crazy to hear myself on the radio.
Right?
I was not used to hearing my voice like that.
Uh-huh. Well, we appreciate very much you joining us and taking time out of your job there to speak with us.
Take time out of my job. Okay. It's not job, okay? It is calling. It
calling.
Is, my right wrong calling to teach Iron Crotch Kung Fu.
Uh-huh. Okay, so it's a special type of kung fu that is based around getting hit in the crotch and being fine?
Yes.
That's a terrible idea.
I can teach students how to absorb blows to the testicles and the penis region.
Okay.
Why would people need this?
Because it is very important for male sexual health.
Oh, I see. Oh.
Wait a minute. You're saying there's a benefit, a side effect of what you teach to sexual health?
Yes. Iron Crotch Kung Fu cures erectile dysfunction, premature ejaculation, and many other sexual issues for men.
Really?
Has that been medically verified, Master?
Yes, it has been.
Huh.
By Master Wei Yaobin.
But that's you.
That's you.
Yes, that is me.
Okay. Has anyone else?
Where you been? Okay. Where I been?
Right. Has anyone else verified it?
Many practitioners of Iron Crotch Kung Fu report amazing benefits to their sexual region.
Okay.
I am very surprised by that.
Oh, you're doing it now?
Yes, I am currently doing it as we speak.
Oh, wow.
Teaching class in Iron Crotch.
Now, what's happening? Someone kicking you?
Yes.
Okay.
Right in the balls.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Now, see.
That's, oh, boy.
Right.
Now, you felt that one.
Now they will use a baseball bat.
Oh, well.
All righty. Okay.
Oh, it sounds like your voice.
They'll use a log on a rope.
No, don't
swing it into my.
Well, don't.
Okay.
That one stung. I got to admit, that one stung a little bit.
The log?
Now take a 50-pound weight.
Well, don't.
All righty. Okay. This is not what I expected this morning. I thought it would go differently. I really did. I
didn't
even ready that time. I wasn't ready. I have to prepare myself. Come on already. That's just out of line now. You're really... I need to go lay down now.
Why don't you do that?
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Coachella tickets, also funny man Brad Williams, all coming up in the next few minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, while we're talking about great guests, Marlon Wayans is going to be here tomorrow. Jim Rome on the show tomorrow. Friday, live music in the 7 o'clock hour for the band Cold War Kids, performing live on our show.
That's correct.
New stuff from Cold War Kids. Love that band. So a lot of good stuff coming up this week here on K-Rock.
Allie, explain to us how this all got started.
Listen,
how Buttongate got started.
Yeah. A couple days ago, I saw somebody tweet about something that I never thought about, but then looked at the tweet and looked at the responses, and it spread like wildfire.
Okay.
A guy named Nick Bonino, he plays for the Pittsburgh Penguins. He witnessed something in his locker room that blew his mind, and he tweeted, quote, "Apparently guys on the team button dress shirts top to bottom. That is bananas. Never seen it before. Only normal way is bottom to top. Thoughts?" What? No, and his Twitter exploded with people that were like, "What kind of animal are you doing bottom to top?" And then other people were like, "Of course it's bottom to top. That's why it's called a button down." Then the Oxford people were like, "No, a button down, it's just the lapels of a shirt." It turned into Shirtgate and Buttongate, and it got serious.
I've never heard of buttoning a dress shirt from the bottom up.
I haven't either.
Okay.
But, however, this hockey player believed that that was the normal way to do it, and because this is another case, as we often talk about on this show, is if you do something, you just assume other people do it.
And I can imagine if that's what you've done your whole life, and then you're looking around the locker room and everyone's doing top to bottom.
But what if everyone's doing top to bottom, then you're wrong.
Right. And then I thought, well, maybe he's Canadian. No, he's from Connecticut. So now I'm even more confused. Like, what is happening in Connecticut to make you think the only normal way is bottom to top? So I tweeted about it, and the responses, primarily they were top to bottom people.
Okay.
But then other people were like, no, it's always bottom. That way you get the exact point, and then you just go up.
You get the exact point.
I don't know, but then other people said, but then there's extra buttons on the bottom, and you could put it in the wrong one. It turned ugly in my mentions.
Wow, you don't want to put it in the wrong hole. I do know
from first-hand experience.
That's terrible. How close was the voting online on either his Twitter poll or yours, Allie?
He then did a Twitter poll.
I mean, is this a 50-50 thing, or is this an 80-20 thing, or what?
This is shocking to me. His Twitter poll was, I guess this should settle it. Do you button your dress shirt from bottom to top like a normal person, or top to bottom?
That's a loaded question.
He was leading the witness.
Yeah.
But 31% said start at bottom, 63% said start at top, and then 6% said some other way, goalies. So he's throwing his goalies under the bus who might start in the middle, but yeah. That's crazy. I thought it would be way more than 63 starting at the
top. We do have callers on the line. We will get to the scientific survey here in a moment. Now, let's just go around our room real quick, though. I am a top-to-bottom person.
Mm-hmm.
How about you, Kevin?
I've buttoned shirts 4 times in my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you and I are mostly the T-shirt crowd, so this doesn't apply to us.
Always top-to-bottom.
Yeah. Top-to-bottom. Chip?
Top-to-bottom.
It's the only way.
Top to bottom.
Okay, so this room's unanimous. But you know what? We're not the deciders. Mm-mm. That's what the scientific survey is all about. We have listeners on the line. They called before they knew what the topic was, so they should be unbiased. It's not like we were screening for people that went one way or the other. So we have 5 callers on the line. We're going to determine once and for all what's the right way to button a button-down shirt with this, the Kevin and Bean Scientific Survey.
It's time for Kevin and Bean's Scientific Survey.
Based on this room, I'd be stunned if there's an upset here. Doesn't
right?
It just seem like at least among us?
Now, our scientific surveys, though, are legally binding.
They are not
this
binding.
Is it.
So if our listeners rule that it's bottom to top, we all have to change the way we do it.
Right.
That's right. That's how
it works.
Yes,
how it goes.
All right, so you have a very important vote. We'll take them in order, starting in Hemet. Line one, this is going to be Gary. He gets the first call on bottom to top or top to bottom for button-down shirts. Gary, welcome to the show. Thank you for calling. Thank you for holding on. What say you? You've heard the evidence.
I heard the evidence, and while I was listening, I unbuttoned my shirt three times, rebuttoned it. I always start at the top and go down.
Top to bottom.
All right, Gary.
There you go.
One.
All right, there's one for that.
Nicely done. Wow, he was doing research while on hold.
I mean, well, that's dedication.
As a good juror should, by the way.
Right.
You should very much consider the facts of the case.
Let's go to Juan in Canoga Park. Hi there. Hello, Juan. Oh, not there. What do we do?
Oh, Juan.
Conspiracy.
Well, fortunately, we do have an alternate juror.
Hello?
So we don't.
Oh, there's Juan.
Oh, he's back.
He was probably buttoning. He was practicing.
Yeah. All right. Hello? Juan, hi. Top to bottom, bottom to top.
Top to bottom, zippers, bottom to top. And that's it.
Well, zippers bottom to top, of course.
It has to be one.
Yeah, of course.
But I appreciate that.
Thank you for the clarification, though.
If you could do your zipper from top to bottom, you're impressive.
All right. So that's two votes for top to bottom. This could settle it. Christian is up next from Pomona, line three.
A lot of weight on you, Christian.
Does it really matter, Bean? I mean,
that's a good point.
Does it really matter?
A great point, Christian.
Why are our listeners always funnier than us?
Always.
All right, Christian, buttoning a shirt, top to bottom, bottom to top.
I always go bottom up because when I go the other way, I always have extra buttons.
See, a lot of people were saying that. I don't understand.
I do understand. And this is what, when we talked about this off the air yesterday, I said, I think it makes more sense to go bottom to top. And here's why. And I don't, by the way. I still do top to bottom. I'm with you guys. But I understand the bottom to top people because you line up the flaps of your shirt. You hold them at the bottom so that you know that the buttons are even.
Right.
So that you start from the right buttonhole.
Right.
I think that's harder to do on the top because you can't see the top of your shirt so much because it's under your neck. You see what I'm saying?
No, it doesn't make any sense. You can do the exact same thing, which is start with the ultimate top buttons and move down as you
but
can as starting with the ultimate low and move up.
But you can look down at your body and you can see the buttons at the bottom of your shirt. You can't see the buttons at the top of your shirt because they're under your head. So it makes sense to start from the bottom, but I don't do it that way. But it sounds like Christian does, so it's 2-1 right now.
All right, so do we keep going?
Yeah.
We have to, yeah. Whether you need a majority for this to be concluded.
Let's go to John in Koreatown. Hi there.
Hello.
Welcome to Buttongate. Top to bottom, bottom to top.
Top to bottom.
There it is.
Fantastic.
I don't know what that guy was doing. John, you are the deciding verdict. It is now settled officially, according to the Kevin Mean Scientific Survey, which, as Kevin mentioned, is binding by law.
That's legally binding.
Mm-hmm. The only way to button your dress shirt is top to bottom. So your little hockey player friend for the Penguins has got to step down, Allie.
Yeah, F that dude. He was on the Ducks.
That was Kevin and Bean's Scientific Survey.
Hey, could I get a little of that echo, Kevin? Do you have that button? You can give me a little echo.
Absolutely, yes.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for... Ready? Is it time?
Oh, dear. I had it on.
I know, but I didn't know. I didn't want to say it if you weren't ready.
But okay, I had it on.
Okay, turn it off and then pause. Okay.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Kevin's Peep. No, you didn't have it on now that time.
Well, I didn't realize you wanted it then. Okay, try it again.
This one more gets old.
Just one more time.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for... No, not yet.
Okay,
you wait till
ahead.
The pause.
Sorry,
and you
bring
it. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Kevin's People.
Better known as, what the hell is this guy talking about? He called the Afro line, I don't know, 20 times?
Oh. He had a lot on his mind.
Over time, though, 20 times.
I mean, it was all pretty much at one time.
Oh.
So over the course of a year, though.
No. I'm saying like in a day. So he would call, and then it would cut him off, and then he would call back and continue. He has a lot to say.
Okay. How much time do you get per call before it cuts you off, you think?
I think you get 3 minutes. Huh. I edited this down so that we could at least handle it. It's about a minute per call, and there's three of them.
Okay.
I didn't change the content, did he? I just edited it for shortness. But this is one dude, and tell me what the hell he's talking about.
Oh, hello.
By the way, I like that. Oh, I didn't realize you were there. Hello. Hey, there's someone here to talk to.
Oh, hello. Sometimes buffoons that you come in contact with can have power over you. There's a thing in L.A., they're hipster doofuses.
Tell me when you want to stop and comment.
Hipster doofuses, they're buffoons. This might be a little tangential, a little bit convoluted, but I think I have a very good point. One time I was in West L.A. to get a Starbucks coffee, which I don't even drink coffee, but my friend, went there and I bought like an $8 cup of coffee, which I just thought, wow, these people are really stupid. They're paying $8 for a cup of coffee.
Says the guy who just paid $8 for a cup of coffee.
That's perplexing.
Now, I just said I never drink coffee.
Right.
But my friend did. He sought out coffee that was like, I think he said the most he ever spent was like $1.50. Anyway, I'm old. People don't still have kids when you're middle age. Pavarotti had a kid, I think, when he was like 73. So men are pretty gifted in that way. They can have kids when they're 99 years old. Anyway, I'm digressing, as I said I would.
Okay, let me stop.
But you come across...
So he has...
Okay, so then it ended.
Oh, that was the end of that one. Okay.
Yeah, hung up on it, yeah.
So he's just a scatterbrain, right? Like, everything he says reminds him of something else that he then also has to say. So
yes.
It's a monologue that never ends. There's so many jumping off points in the through line.
Although, occasionally, he will get back to the West Hollywood Starbucks.
I need to know how he liked the coffee.
Right?
Does he get to that?
Occasionally, he'll call back.
Anyhow.
He calls back and starts with anyhow. Because the phone cut him off.
I'm continuing my... commentary.
I see.
There's an actress. She's a very beautiful actress. I like her. Her name is... She's from South Africa. Charlize Theron, I believe. Just probably about the most gorgeous woman you ever encounter in your life.
Agreed.
And he's
sometimes,
making sense.
Right?
Making perfect sense.
Right.
They were really, really beautiful women, but in this particular Arrested Development...
Okay, right there. And just in case you miss it, now he's pivoted to her in Arrested Development.
Okay.
Yeah, she was that British lady or something for half a season. But what's weird is that he brings up Charlize Theron as if it's his discovery.
Right.
Like, she hasn't been one of the most famous women in the world for the last 20 years.
Right.
And is an Academy Award winner. Like, we know who Charlize Theron is, but for whatever reason, she seems to be new to him.
She played, she's an excellent actress.
Right.
Because she played a really beautiful woman.
Mm-hmm.
Anyhow. I digress, as I said I would.
Right.
I'm at the Starbucks in West Hollywood.
Yes, here we go.
Okay.
Here we go. All right, an update.
I haven't actually been to West Hollywood.
Nope.
And I've just lost a lot of weight.
Okay, so now we're already off the Starbucks in West Hollywood. Now we're talking about his weight problem.
Hmm. About 3 months ago, I weighed about 255. As of today, I weigh 220.
Congratulations.
Now... I called a friend who's an idiot, who is probably a narcissist. Well, at the very least, I can hope he's just a narcissist.
Right.
But I think he might be a sociopath.
Okay, so
then... Oh, no!
And by the way, that's his friend!
Who's an idiot, narcissist, possibly sociopath.
Right, that's his friend. He describes his friend
way.
By the way, what a cliffhanger, though, to call on that.
Right? So then he...
I've got to know what happened.
So then he realizes that he got cut off, so he calls back immediately.
As I continue, now you think, boy, this guy's really droning on.
Right?
And if you have no patience, no, that's not on me.
All right, so if you're bored by this,
on you.
Right,
yeah.
He's doing his part.
Sometimes you have to have patience.
Okay.
Uh-huh. People that are, young people that are even, in their 20s, I think, wow, they're 20. They should know something. But they're really dumb people now. I didn't realize there was a guy who made a movie. I think it was like the guy who... Made King of Aeolian, made a movie, but it was about a guy who ends up in the future, and he's okay, and then I guess a hooker ends up in the future with him, and they're actually the smartest people in this place, and I think it's supposed to be United States, like 500 years in the future, and some people are just ignorant, and it's really not their fault.
Okay. Oh, man.
So is Idiocracy new to him again?
Idiocracy's new to him, but what about the sociopath?
Right?
Yeah. And the coffee.
How is the coffee in West Hollywood?
A lot of loose ends here, kids.
How do you lose 30 pounds?
Right?
Right?
I got like 15 more. I can bring in some more tomorrow if you want.
I don't hate it.
Okay, we'll do that.
We were talking off the air yesterday about our plans for the holidays, upcoming Christmas holidays. And I mentioned that every year on December 25th, my wife and I have Chinese food and go to the movies. And Allie, you were so surprised to hear that because I guess you have people like that in your life too.
Oh, yeah, but they're all Jewish.
Yeah, that's the odd part.
As is my wife.
Had no idea. Well, now it makes perfect sense.
That is her tradition. It has been, and it has become ours in all the years that we've been married. And it got us on the conversation of holiday traditions that you have, especially if they are traditions that are unique to your family. You're the only one who does this for the holidays.
We'll be honest. We're looking for weird.
We are looking for weird. Like, how could you summarize, Allie, you have a better memory than I do, the crazy Thanksgiving tradition, for instance, that the kids on This Is Us have, if you're watching that show. Because of something that happened one night when they were kids, when their car broke down, and they ended up staying in a seedy motel overnight, they have incorporated everything from that night into their Thanksgiving traditions that they still do every year as adults, right?
Exactly. They couldn't get the food. They couldn't get to grandma's. All this stuff happened. And so the dad wound up going and getting hot dogs, just random hot dogs.
That's a terrible one to keep up.
But now that's part of their tradition. They have the hot dogs there on the table, and they're very thankful for that one holiday that they spent together and had to realize how grateful they had to be at that point for what they had.
So they're the only people in the world who celebrate Thanksgiving that way because
it's a horrible way to celebrate.
Unique to their family.
Right.
And we're going to take your calls on this, by the way, if you have unique family traditions.
Weird.
1-800-520-1067 or weird. Yeah. I had a conversation with a guy yesterday. I was in an Uber yesterday with a young man from India who's been in America for a number of years now. I swear to God, this is completely true. He has a boxing ring that he built in his garage. When the relatives get together, and he's got a big family with cousins and parents, and even his sister is involved, they box each other on Thanksgiving and on Christmas. They have tournaments where they box each other.
Well, it makes sense because on Thanksgiving, a lot of people will go out and play flag football with the family.
Yeah.
So it does make sense. Yeah.
I just thought, what says Christmas? What says celebrating the birth of the baby Jesus like hitting your dad in the face?
Honestly, wouldn't you want to do that on Thanksgiving? Get it all out?
Oh, the K-Rock microphones were there. Merry Christmas.
Oh.
And I asked him, I said, all right, hold on. Wait, we're not quite.
Juicy.
Wow, that's before or after Christmas dinner. I asked him.
I feel like a bell.
And happy holidays. So I asked him, I said, I said, are you trying to hurt each other? And he's like, no. You know, I'm not trying to knock my brother's head off, for instance, but you try to win. I mean, it's competitive boxing, and that's their tradition. Is that strange? Is that weird enough for you, Kevin?
Yeah, that's pretty weird. But I love it.
Let's talk to Dylan real quick. Line one, please. He's in Topanga. He'll get us started. 1-800-520-1067. Your unique and or weird holiday traditions. Dylan, welcome to Kevin DeBean Show. What's going on?
Hey, guys.
Hi there.
Long-time listener.
Thank you.
For about 5 or 6 years when I was younger, we used to, the night before Christmas, we would go steal a Christmas tree from the Christmas tree lot.
That's what Jesus would want.
It's at least from the lot, not somebody else's house.
Yeah.
Why don't you just chop one down in the neighbor's yard? Why don't you just take it to the next level? How did that tradition get started? Were you poor one year and you stole a tree because it's the only way you could get one?
Or were you drunk
one
year?
You were wasted, Dylan.
I think it was more my uncle being like fighting against, you know, they would sell the Christmas trees for like $80 and then they would just throw them away on Christmas.
Yeah. Oh, sticking it to the man then.
Yeah, I think the customer should be allowed to determine how much is charged by the businesses. Thanks for the call, Dale. Appreciate that. All right, that's the story to beat. He steals a Christmas tree every year. 1-800-520-1067. Your weird holiday traditions next on K-Rock. Minutes away from your tickets to see Metallica, a block party concert at Jimmy Kimmel Live tomorrow night. We'll tell you how you can win that coming up on K-Rock. Right now, though, we're talking about your weird, unique, unusual, one-of-a-kind holiday family traditions at 1-800-520-1067. I was telling you about a guy I spoke with yesterday. He and his family box on Christmas Day. That's what they do. They get together and just knock each other out.
So does all of England, by the way.
That's the next day, and that's Boxing Day, right? Unrelated to boxing. All right, let's try Maurice and Azusa, please. Up first, he's on line three to get us going in this segment on the Kevin DeBean Show.
Hey, Maurice.
What do you guys?
You tell us.
So my family is a traditional Mexican family with way too many family members in it.
Okay.
And every time we get together, we play games from the old country that my uncles would play back in Mexico with no money and stuff, and it's called Hide the Belt. And the theme of the game is somebody hides a belt and gets to play hot and cold with everybody else who's playing. Whoever finds it gets to whip the hell out of anybody else in close proximity while we run to the safe zone.
I don't understand that at all.
So as soon as somebody finds it, it's just a mad scramble for a safe zone, or otherwise they get beat?
A lot of people get trampled, and usually it's the spectators who are getting in the way, and everybody else is running like hell from the guy with the belt.
Okay, well, happy holidays to you and yours, Maurice. Thank you.
I'm
for
Donald
call.
Trump, and I approve this message.
I'm not sure what Mr. Trump has to do about it. Let's go to Christine.
Mexican family.
She is in Los Angeles up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Christine.
Hey, how are you?
Good, thank you.
So every Easter, Christmas, and Thanksgiving, my family, we gamble.
All right.
We play a dice game. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, the kids are allowed to gamble, too, and we all use real money.
Nice.
So wow.
Start them young.
That,
I like
yeah,
it.
Yeah, exactly.
Plus shots.
There's a three-year-old, a six-year-old, and an eight-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And all I know is that I went home broke this Thanksgiving, and the six-year-old walked off with $53.
What? So, now, are you plotting your sweet revenge on Thanksgiving against that little kid? I mean, excuse me, Christmas coming up?
You've never won. Time. No, it's been years, and I've never won.
You're a terrible gambler.
Yes, I'm a terrible gambler. We do have one Easter tradition that I have won, though, which is to take, we have egg fights. We take hard-boiled eggs, and you go against another person, and you smash the eggs together, and only one will crack. But we make, like, six or seven dozen eggs, and we have a chart, and we have a whole tournament.
That's
like,
beautiful.
Tournament.
That's a really beautiful story.
Anyway.
I love that so much.
That's what we do.
All right. Happy holidays, Christine. Thank you for listening. Let's go to Jonathan Van Nuys, please. Line five up next. All right, Jonathan. Hi.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Great. What's going on?
So, on Christmas Day, I've been doing this for about 15 years. I have all of my Jewish friends come over, and we sit down and we watch basketball for 12 hours straight starting at 9 a.m. because it's the one day of year where there's basketball all
day. Yeah, there's an NBA triple header usually, right?
It's even more than that. It's usually about five games in a row.
I didn't even know that existed, 9 to 9. Wow.
Yeah, and the last game this year is the Laker game, and usually around halftime is when you realize the Lakers are not going to win,
right?
So I get obliterated every single year.
Well, that's a nice tradition, I guess. If you and your friends like basketball, I guess you can't beat it.
Everyone comes over, they bring their kids, we have lots of pizza, and we just hang out all day and watch basketball.
That sounds like fun. Thank you for the call, Jonathan. Appreciate that. Let's go to Monterey Park, and Mike is up next, line six. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, thank you.
All right, so back when we were in high school, for about like 3 or 4 years, we were known as the Baby Jesus Bandits in Pico Rivera.
The Baby Jesus Bandits.
You would not steal baby Jesuses from the manger. You would not, Mike.
Yes, we did. We're going to hell.
Oh, my.
Straight.
Yeah,
have you started a band called the Baby Jesus Bandits?
No, well, we have to understand, when we were at that age, we were punk rock. You know, we used to dress like idiots and have patches and, you know, have mohawks and stink. And, you know, we were just a bunch of stupid kids. So one year we were passing by somebody's house and, you know, we were joking about that Sling Blade movie when he's like, you shouldn't have done that. He's just a boy.
Right.
We just happened to see a baby Jesus, and my friend grabbed it, and we were laughing. We're like, you shouldn't have done that. That's a boy.
This conversation just got weird.
Got real dark and odd. I don't know what's
going on.
Mike
is our people.
It turned into a big old joke, and we started stealing them. They published a thing in the paper saying, you know, that, you know, nativity scenes were being robbed and Jesus was being stolen.
Is that right? And, you made the news?
Yeah. We made the local news, no, local paper, yeah.
We got his number, Pico Rivera cops, if you want to call in.
Hey, Mike, I can't support or endorse this. It's a terrible thing. You shouldn't have done it. But what did you do with the baby Jesuses once you
stole
them?
Oh, I don't know if we want to know this.
You know, the funny part is we had nothing to do with them, so we had no idea. So we had a collection in my friend's garage.
Okay.
And
No.
Why would you even do that, Kevin? There's nothing sexy about this story.
How do you know?
Because we're talking about the babies and Jesus. That's how I know.
Oh, but this, this is where the story gets better.
Mike, I'm sorry. Your story has already peaked. Thank you for the call. All right, please stop playing that. And happy holidays to all the degenerates.
The last 50 years or so, on Christmas Eve, my family has had a huge marshmallow fight. Nobody knows when it's going to happen. My older cousin usually just starts it out of the blue. Marshmallows are flying everywhere. As an added bonus, somebody inevitably finds one or two hard as rocks as late as the next spring. Merry Christmas, everybody. People are weird.
Stop
their traditions are weird.
Doing dumb things, people.
No,
right?
Do dumb things.
Why?
Because it's fun.
Hmm.
Agree to disagree.
I'm sold on this one.
Guys,
marshmallow fight fun?
Sure.
Is it?
Yeah.
All right, bring some marshmallows tomorrow.
What do you guys think? Here's a cheery topic for first thing in the morning. What do you guys think, if there is a number one, is the most likely thing to kill you in your day today in Southern California?
Traffic.
I would say traffic, too. I would say something auto-related, either getting hit by a car while you're walking across the street or being involved in an auto accident or something like that. I think traffic would be something you'd have to worry about the most. And even that, the odds are infinitesimally small that you're going to get even hurt in a car crash today. Having said that, imagine what it's like to live in India where there's a very real concern going about your business in your day that you will be killed by an elephant or a tiger.
Yeah, that seems worse.
That's so a real concern. Like, I think of India as being a modern country, and it is in many places. It has some of the biggest cities in the world, but there are also a lot of people who live in places where there are Indians and tigers just walking around. This is a staggering statistic that was just released this week. In the 1,143 days between April 2014 and May 2017, 1,144 people were killed in attacks by animals.
What? Whoa.
Yeah.
A person a day is being killed by an elephant or a tiger or some other animal. And apparently it's just as exactly as you would imagine, is that people are spreading out, the population is growing, and they are just, cutting into places where elephants have lived for hundreds and hundreds of years. So elephants and people are trying to coexist, and it doesn't always work out. So I can't even imagine what that's like for the average person on the street in India. So we asked Dave if there's anyone we could speak to on this terrible, terrible problem. And I think we have Siddhanta Das, the Ministry's Director General of Forests, joining us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you, Mr. Das?
Good morning. I am very fine, thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us, the Ministry of Forests. So, did I nail it that you're basically
yes, you nailed that. Well done. That's all, folks.
I'd like to hear the end of that.
I would too. I'd love to know what it is. So they're building more and more cities for people to work and live in, and they're cutting down elephant habitats, right?
Encroachment into the animal's habitat.
Mm. That's the word, right?
Yes, and that is causing many problems for people to coexist with the animals. And your facts, though, were a little bit wrong.
Oh, please, I'm sorry about that.
The 1,144 people were killed in 1,143 days, so it's more than one person a day. It's like 1.0008 people a day.
I see. Okay.
That 0.008 person, he is effed up.
Yes, he is. All right, that's a good correction. I'm sorry about that. So what can people do to protect themselves?
Well, first thing is look out for tigers and elephants.
Right.
If you see one, don't go up to him and say, "Oh, hello, Mr. Tiger. How are you? Do you know Tony?"
Do people do that?
Do you think Frosted Flakes are great? It's not a laughing matter. You shouldn't just go with me.
Mr. Das, what's going on?
Hello?
Hello.
Oh, are you okay, sir?
This is not Siddhartha Das. This is his assistant.
Oh.
Siddhartha was just killed by a tiger.
Oh, that is so unfortunate. I'm really sorry to hear that.
Yes, we are all very sorry. He was a good man.
He was giving us some... I can't believe we're even going to go on with this interview. Do you need to go, or is it okay to talk?
No, it happens every day. We lose one.
He was giving us some tips on how to stay safe if you're living in an environment with wild animals.
It's difficult because there are so many wild animals.
Oh, no.
No, not the elephant.
Oh, be careful, sir. Hello?
Hello, can I help you?
Yes.
Who is this?
Who's this?
This is the assistant. The assistant.
Okay. All right. So we're a little further down on the food chain, but
it's important to get this information out, so we're able to keep doing the interview.
Okay. All right. Good.
All right. Well, is there any way, I don't know, you guys could build more fences or something like that?
You have to understand, the elephant is a very powerful creature.
Right.
It can tear down any fence that we build.
A monkey?
A monkey as well?
Oh, no.
Hello?
Hello, can I help you?
A lot of assistance.
You are also an assistant to Mr. Doss?
Assistant to the assistant.
Oh, God.
Maybe you guys are in a bad spot to talk on the phone.
No,
maybe.
We're fine.
You're good.
I'm perfectly able to answer your question.
It seems awfully dangerous, sir. We're urging you to seek cover right now.
Well, it's not the sandwich. No! Killer pig!
A killer pig?
Hello?
Hello? Who's this?
This is another guy in the office.
Okay. So all this is happening...
Can I help you with?
All of this is happening in an office?
Yes.
What?
Oh, no.
Hello?
Oh, hi, man.
Can I do any help you?
Who's this?
This is... Who do you think it is?
Another assistant?
Yes, that's another assistant, and I'm here for helping you.
Okay, now, we'd like to warn you, because the last five people... Oh, no!
Killer duck!
It's killer duck!
Killer duck!
What's happening in India?
Oh, we lost her, too! She's so young! Wait, what's happening now?
What?
Who's this?
Who do you think?
Run!
Hey, we got a 4-pack of Disneyland Resort tickets you can still win here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Also, Laker and UCLA great Kareem Abdul-Jabbar will be joining us, and Hasan Minhaj from The Daily Show coming up as well. Good show today. I was unfamiliar with this word, sologamy, but it makes sense that it would be marrying yourself. These are people who are just they're both parts of the couple.
Yeah. Why?
I don't know.
Why do you marry yourself?
I don't know. Perhaps this woman, Erica Anderson, being interviewed on the topic, she recently married herself. Perhaps she will enlighten us.
How would you describe self-marriage?
I would describe it as women saying yes to themselves.
And what does that mean?
It means that we are enough, even if we're not partnered with someone else.
If you're enough, even though you're not partnered with someone else, why do you have to marry yourself?
Why do you have to marry yourself?
Because you're enough.
Why are you both looking at me?
Because you're a lady.
Well, I think I could do better.
This Erica is 37 years old and had a full-on wedding with a wedding dress and bouquets and bridesmaids and the photographer and the cake and the party and everything.
Oh,
is
Erica.
Is she lying to us, or did she wake up one day and go, I'm never going to get married and I want a wedding?
Yeah.
Is that what's happening here?
It might be. Because
she's positioning it like it's not that, though.
Right.
She's positioning it.
Which is that I'm so happy with the way just me is happening
right.
that I want to commemorate that with a ceremony. So I'm very confused about sologamy, but it is a real, real thing. And we asked if there's somebody we could talk to on this topic. And Dave lined up a young man named Roger Cantwell. He is an advocate for sologamy. And maybe he can help us work through this since we're all so new to the topic. Mr. Cantwell, how are you, sir?
Good morning. How are you?
we're doing fine. So how is this just one?
Why are you laughing?
Well, we're just happy to have you on the show.
Well,
sir.
I'm happy to be here. Right. I'm happy to talk to almost anyone.
This Erica Anderson, we were just...
Yes, Erica.
Oh, you know her?
I know her well. I was at her wedding.
Okay. So is she just a nut job, to use the language of the president, or is this a trend that's actually happening and it's becoming more and more popular?
Of course it's actually happening. It actually happened. That's how I know it's actually happening.
No, but I mean more than just her.
Oh, many people are marrying themselves. I myself married me.
What? All right. Then you tell us. What's the thought process that leads you to arrive at that decision?
I am enough. I love me and I accept myself wholly.
Right. Then why do you...
I'm trying to tell you my vows.
Sorry.
I take my hand and hold myself as no one else will hold me.
Mm-hmm.
I treat myself better than anyone would ever treat me.
Okay.
And so I celebrate today myself. Me.
I see.
Yeah, it does sound pretty entitled, but don't you think you're kind of shutting yourself off from somebody that you could let enter your life by doing this?
Not at all. It leaves me open to the idea that maybe someday I will find someone else who is also a sologamist, and then we can be solo together.
So then, so you would date that person? Or...
I have no idea. I'm pretty faithful to myself.
I see. Oh. Okay. You don't want to cheat on you.
I hate the idea of cheating on me.
What if you fall in love with somebody who has married themselves?
I am so in love with me. I can hardly imagine having room in my heart for another one.
Huh.
But I have spent the better part of my life alone, surprisingly.
Right. Yeah. It is. Yeah.
And... It really, I fell in love with myself at an early age, around 12.
Okay.
And my sex life has been primarily, well, as I like to call it, Han Solo. And so my sexuality just naturally led me, I think, into sologamy.
Okay.
And when I got married,
yes.
I had a great wedding. It was almost $750,000, my wedding.
What?
Yes, it was quite the affair. A large part of that was making tiny little tuxedos for my cats.
This is
part of the expense.
That was
expensive.
They're not cheap, those custom cats.
No. Right. Now, was this a sad day, Roger? Because it sounds sad just being on the outside of it.
Let me tell you something about my wedding.
Okay.
It was the happiest day of my life.
Oh, that's lovely.
As I looked into my own eyes.
How do you do that?
I said, you have to cross them severely.
I see, okay. Okay.
As I looked into my own eyes, and I said my vows to myself.
Uh-huh.
I just couldn't. It was so hard to wait until the wedding night.
Oh, no.
I just had to duck into a restaurant.
Oh, no. Wow. Okay.
Get me a little piece of me.
You do love you.
You have no idea.
How is married you different than single you, though?
Well.
Because doesn't single you do all those same things?
But when I was single with myself, we would go out more and party more. And now we're really so much more homebodies.
Okay.
Have you seen the sex drop off?
No. Actually, it's picked up considerably because we're spending less time out of the home.
I see.
And we just Netflix and chill a lot when we're home. It's more Pornhub and chill, but still,
I understand.
There's a lot of chilling.
Did we send the right guy to Las Vegas?
Oh,
to my God.
I thought you were going to say wrong guy. And I was agreeing with you.
Okay. Did we send the right guy to Las Vegas to cover the Mayweather-McGregor fight? Because Beerbug is there. I guess he's going to be involved in some of the press lines or whatever. And he left yesterday after the show. And we got an Afro call from him at what time this morning?
I think it was 4 o'clock. I think it was about 3 hours ago.
Hours ago, Beerbug, who we sent to Las Vegas to work, leaves us this message on the Kevin Beat Afro Live.
Listen here. It's Beer Mug, and I'm in the first night in Vegas, and I'm already lost $400.
Uh-oh.
I hate gambling, man. But I love it, but I hate it. But I never learned my lesson, man. What the are we doing here? What the am I doing here? I need to make this money back.
No!
Why do I waste money on gambling when I could spend it on food?
Ooh.
Seriously. I love you.
Says, I love you at the end of that message. He's not even been there 24 hours.
No.
Down $400 already.
Yikes.
That's someone's dad. Hey, speaking of Beer Mug, we got talking about this a couple of days ago. Beer Mug briefly was an Uber driver. And if I recall correctly, didn't he decide to take on a part-time job as an Uber driver to try to figure out a way to pay back some of the debts he was into with his bookie?
Yes.
Yes.
His gambling debts, yes.
That's right. That's why he needed another job. And he essentially, he gave it up.
I mean, he did it about 3 days.
Yeah.
And not in a row either. Like and once, and then like a week and a half off, and then once.
Well, he had to swim.
I forgot he was swimming.
But Beer Mug told us that his, if I remember correctly, his very first day as an Uber driver,
yes,
he had a passenger, a lady, if I recall, who vomited in the back of his car.
Yeah. Yep.
And that, what, cost a couple of $100 or something, I guess, to get something like that cleaned up. So you're clearly losing money on day one. And that came up off air recently because we were talking about that story at the In-N-Out Burger there in Hollywood. Those two Uber riders, also ladies, they were sisters, 26 and 32 years old. And what was the deal? Do you remember, Kevin, why did they go so crazy on their Uber driver?
I don't think anyone knows, but she had puked and then they started yelling. So he pulled over into the In-N-Out. And then they got out of the car and they just took on all comers. It was crazy.
Yeah.
It was
I think he was kicking them out of the car at that point.
Okay.
And they lost it. And they started beating up people, a security guard. They took their heels off and started hammering cars. It was insanity.
Started dropping the F-bomb and the N-bomb, and it just eventually a woman on the street ended up at least holding down one of the ladies and sitting on her until the police arrived. But, I mean, that's the beauty of being an Uber driver. And I don't know that we've ever even done this topic. If we have, it's been a real long time. We would like to hear from you, the Uber driver, about the things that have happened in your car.
Yeah, because don't you think, like, something like that, let's say you drive 5 days a week. Mm-hmm. Don't you think something like that happens 2 days out of those five?
You would, especially if they work at night.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess that's the wild card is if you're working at night, a lot of people are Ubering specifically because they're drinking and they know they can't drive.
Right. Yeah.
So you are the pool of passengers that you are picking up, unless you're going to or from the airport, is probably drunk on a Saturday night in Hollywood. Let's face it. So we want to hear from you in your Uber horror stories if you are a driver at 1-800-520-1067. There was a story a couple of months ago in the Bronx about an Uber driver who was assaulted, and the woman passenger said that she was going to call the police and accuse the driver of assaulting and raping her.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. Why? Because he didn't have an iPhone charger. Her phone was dead.
What?
She thought he should have a charger in the car, and she was furious. So she started to scream at him, and again, threatened that she was going to call the cops and make up all these horrible things about her. Started hurling racial expletives at the driver. And there's video of this, and he's very calm in this. She talks about how Donald Trump is going to send his family back to whatever country he came from.
Oh, man.
And just on and on and on. Again, all of this because he didn't have an iPhone charger.
So how is she going to call the cops?
Lady, think this through. It's a fantastic question.
He gives her a charging cord. Now he's in trouble.
Then he's screwed.
And I gotta imagine if you're an Uber driver, you're thinking, it's not worth it. It's just not, I mean, like, it's not tough enough already to make money being an Uber driver, right? And then one other story that happened fairly recently is a woman who just, again, went crazy on a driver. She was also drunk. I'm not sure why she was mad, but she started throwing everything out of his car that she could get a hold of. She threw out his paperwork, his flyers, a pair of scissors, a master lock, his iPhone, just picking up everything and just hurling it out the window.
What a nightmare that job must be.
It's got to be. I couldn't do it. I mean, I'm too much of a scaredy cat to just let some stranger in my car not having any idea,
Well, you think they would hurt you? Because I would guess most of these aren't you being hurt. I would guess most of them are just like this last story, just destructive and throwing your iPhone out the window and just nonsense.
I would be worried as an Uber driver. I would be worried about being robbed. I would be worried about being involved in a criminal enterprise, which I am not aware. Like, I'm now all of a sudden, I'm the getaway car.
We're at a bank, and he's pulling on a ski mask, and he's like, wait right here. I'll be right back.
Yeah, but I got to charge it $1 a minute while I wait.
It's going to affect your rating.
I mean, could you guys ever do it? Could you ever be an Uber driver
and
be comfortable
with
it?
No.
I don't think I could be. And also the traffic would drive you crazy anyway.
Yeah. So now
in this city, you're already driven crazy by the traffic.
Yeah.
And then, why spend more time on the road if you don't have
to? Right. And then these people get in your car and screw things up.
Yeah.
All right. Well, the phones are packed. Let's take a couple before the break and start with Rudy and Torrance. 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call or text here. If you're an Uber driver, we want to hear about what kind of crazy stuff has happened in your car. Rudy, thank you so much for calling. What's going on, man?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, thanks.
I'm calling a long-time listener.
Thank you. Thank you.
So mine's a very freaky story. It was literally my last ride of the night. And I dropped off a guy who was, funny enough, I was dropping him off at a place called Rudy's Barbershop.
Rudy's Barbershop. And your name is Rudy. That's why that's fine.
Yeah,
okay.
And dude, it's a freaky coincidence. A really nice guy and everything. Dropped him off. And I'm waiting for my call. And I wait for a little while. And I'm like, I'm not getting one. So what I did next was I just kind of went home. And as soon as I was about to go on the freeway, I glanced at the back of my seat, and there's a 9mm gun in my back seat.
Oh, my.
The dude that was going there left the gun in your back seat?
Yeah.
Was he expecting a bad haircut?
I have no idea. That wasn't my problem. I told him, hey, man, I can drive you there, but I can't give you this haircut. And he started to laugh. He was a cool guy, but, you know.
So did you take him his gun back?
No, I actually went to the cops and had them physically take it out of my car because I didn't want to touch it.
That's probably safe.
Yeah, I didn't want to get your fingerprints on it. Sure.
Smart, Rudy.
And thanks. So let me ask you this. Did your passenger at one point get back in touch with you and say, hey, dude, I left something in the back of your car?
No, because we have a security protocol where we call our company and tell them, you know, somebody left something in our pocket, and they have a critical response team that basically gets in touch. And
that's cool. So you don't have to deal with it.
No, I was just so freaked out and I literally wanted to cover every face so that I wouldn't be linked to anything.
Yeah, you're smart.
Smart.
No,
yeah.
Very smart, Rudy.
You're very smart, except for listening to this show.
Yeah.
Which we also appreciate.
It happens.
Misha, you hang on, and Ruben and Marco and Tim, too, are taking your calls. Crazy stuff that happened in your Uber. 1-800-520-1067. More in a moment on K-Rock.
All right, just ahead of the Offspring, let's take one call. Who do we want it to be?
Let's make it Misa in Anaheim. We're talking to Uber and Lyft drivers this morning at 1-800-520-1067 about the crazy things that have happened in your car. Misa, hi, you're on the show. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Good morning, party people.
Morning.
So I actually had two guys. They came into the car. They were so excited about the drugs that they had done. They wanted to get more. So they called their drug dealer and put it on speakerphone as I'm driving them from Newport Beach to Laguna Hills. The drug dealer actually answers, and on the speakerphone, I can hear him go, like, okay, what do you guys want? And the guys go, we want to get some more drugs. And they're like, you know what? No, I'm not going to give you more drugs because you still owe me for the last amount of stuff. And he hangs up the phone. Okay. Now, these two guys get irritated, and they're like, you know what? Drive us to my house. We're going to pick up my guns, and we're going to go rob this guy of both his money and his drugs.
That's a crazy thing to ask your Uber driver to do.
Right.
And dude, are you busy for the next hour?
But so I had to commit some crime together. I was like, oh, no, I'm good. So what I ended up telling them, thinking that maybe I can talk my way out of it because they're super drunk and high, I'm going to be like, you know what? You guys don't need more witnesses. It's going to be on the receipt that I took you here and here. There's going to be a paper trail.
Wow, you're actually smart. Did you actually talk them out of it?
I actually talked them into at least letting them figure it out. They're like, you know what? You're right. Just drop us off here at the corner, and we'll figure it out.
I got to tell you, that is very quick thinking on your feet, Misa. Well done, sir.
I'm happy because I got $100 out of the deal, so that was a great night.
It was a great night indeed. Mark calls next on K-Rock. Got to be honest, I can't wait to get to Drew.
Dr. Drew's episode with the title of Hollywood Medium aired last night on E! And we have many questions for him. He appeared to go in a skeptic and come out a believer. So we'll find out what it was like for him on the inside coming up. First, though, as a result of that story that made the news Saturday night in Hollywood at that In-N-Out Burger with those girls that went ballistic on their Uber driver, we thought it might be fun to hear from you if you're an Uber or Lyft or any kind of rideshare driver. What kind of things have you seen? Kay writes in, Dear Kevin Devine, I'm a police dispatcher, and I take calls from Uber drivers at least twice a night.
Wow.
Drivers getting beat up by their passengers, people passed out in the back of their cars, people puking in their cars, people having sex in the back of their cars. All of those things the police are involved in. So let's go to Marco up first now, 1-800-520-1067. Find out what he saw. Hey, Marco.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Good morning.
How are you?
I'm pretty good.
Hi.
Okay, so my story is that one time I used to work nights before, and now I work mornings. And one time I picked up a drunk couple from West Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
And they were arguing in my car because the guy turned and looked at a girl with a mini skirt, and she started yelling at him, hey, what are you looking at, this and that. And then 5 minutes of them fighting, eventually I was driving faster because I was like, I don't want to be involved in an argument.
I was driving faster. Let's get this over with as quickly as possible.
Yep, and then 5 minutes pass, and then eventually they start making out, and then they're about to have sex in my car. She's already, like, taking off her panties, and he's dropping his pants, and I'm just like, whoa. Can't be doing it in my car. I haven't had sex in my car. You guys are not going to be first.
That's a good policy, Marco.
You can't let them be first.
So what do you do? Just tell them to just hold it until they get to wherever they're going?
Yeah, I just told them, you know what? I'm going to drive faster. You guys get home, and then you guys... You do you.
All right. Whatever. Exactly. Great stuff. Thank you so much, Marco. Appreciate that. Let's go to Tim Brea up next, line 5 on the Kevin DeBede Show.
Hey, Tim.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning. You're an Uber driver?
I am.
All right.
In fact, I'm taking a break right now. Yeah, I actually had a pair of transsexuals getting a fist fight in the back seat.
Why were they fighting?
Well,
a fist
first
fight.
Of all, they were
why is transsexuals important?
Well, it's just
okay.
They were different.
Okay, sure. Okay, fine. So there's two people in your car, and they start fist fighting.
Yeah, they're very drunk. Apparently, they were dating, and one of them hit on somebody in the club, and one of them called out the other one. And next thing I know, fists are flying, wigs are flying.
Oh my god!
And this is the one and only Uber trip I've ever ended and kicked them out of the car.
Oh.
So you're able to pull over before you get to wherever they're supposed to be going and just say, get out.
Yeah, we have that option. It is our car.
Right.
But I literally had to threaten them with pepper spray and hit them with a flashlight in order to get them out.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. All right. Thank you for the call, Tim. Appreciate that. You know, I'm almost a little bit surprised just because most people, human decorum dictates that most people don't embarrass themselves in front of strangers.
Right, but so drinking.
Even, yeah.
But drinking.
I know drinking. But I just think, yeah, you're right. I've never factored in the drinking.
But
because most people, they hold that fight until they get out because
right.
they don't want to do it in front of somebody.
Right, but drinking.
All right, let's do one more. Let's make it Victor, Mission Viejo, please, line 7.
All right. Hey, Victor.
How's it going?
Good, thank you.
So one time I picked some guy up. I'm from Mission Viejo, and I drove him to Skid Row to pick up meth.
Oh.
Did you know that ahead of time, or did they just say?
He didn't tell me when he first got in. He told me, like, halfway through. I was like, so what's up? Like, what are you headed to L.A. for? And he's like, I'm just going to be honest with you, man. Don't judge me. I'm going to go.
No worries.
And, so we get there, and he freaks out on me because I guess I made a wrong turn.
Let me ask you a question, Victor. Don't you, before he picks up the meth, don't you think, okay, this is a criminal activity. I don't want to be a part of it.
I mean, I did for a second, but I was like, screw it.
Yeah, Mission Viejo to right? L.A., that's a good fare.
Yeah, so he kind of freaks out on me because I made a wrong turn as we're getting there. And he, like, put his hands on my shoulder, you know, and I was like, whoa, am I going to have to, like, turn around and, I don't know.
Regulate?
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
So, for some reason, he gets out, he does his business, and I wait for him.
What's wrong with you?
You are now an accessory to the crime.
You're making every decision wrong.
You know, there's not much that goes on, so I guess I just wanted an adventure.
All right.
So anyway, I wait for him, and he must have took a hit on his way back to the car because he literally passed out for an hour on the drive home. So, yeah, that was my craziest story.
That's crazy.
Good times. Keep doing what you're doing, Victor.
All right, Robert Federer, who is a journalist in Chicago, wrote a piece that has gotten a lot of national attention this week. It's only the first week in January, but I'm pretty sure we can already declare the dumbest TV executive of the year. He is calling out a man named Dan Salamone. He is the executive producer of a show in Chicago on one of the independent channels, WFLD Channel 32. He put out a memo telling the women who work on Good Day Chicago they were no longer allowed to wear hats during their outdoor live shots this winter. God. Let me let that sink in for a minute and remind you once again, we are talking about Chicago, where it is frequently 0 degrees.
Yeah.
Allie, this when you saw this, as horrified as we all were at the sexism of this, because, by the way, this directive was not issued to male reporters at the station, you weren't surprised.
No.
Tell me why.
Because if viewers had any idea the things that were said to female reporters by producers, by news directors, by GMs about their appearance on a daily basis – they would never watch news again. Things like, oh, maybe a different bra would look better. Oh, wow. Maybe a tighter shirt. Sweeps is coming up. Maybe you could sex it up. These are things that are actually said to women on air.
Remember that that guy a while back who wore the same suit on the news
every day? Yeah, in Australia,
year.
Right?
Yeah, right.
Because yeah,
he was doing it to point out how super critical viewers and bosses are of what women choose to wear on the news. Mm-hmm. And nobody noticed that he showed up for work every day in the same suit.
For a year.
So it's a little bit of a double standard. Yeah. But anyway, that's what's going on at Good Day Chicago. But it wouldn't be fair to just tell that side of the story from that reporter. Why don't we talk to the man himself, who is the executive producer of Channel 32's Good Day Chicago. Dan Salamone joins us on the phone right now. Hi, Mr. Salamone.
Hey, it's Salamone, okay?
Oh. Salamone, I apologize. I didn't realize that.
Hey, come on now.
Well,
let's get it right. If we're going to be in, let's be journalists here, shall we?
Okay. All right. Well,
then.
Well, why don't you be a journalist?
Hey,
and
why
try...
don't you be a journalist? How
well,
about
I'm
that?
I'm trying. I'm actually asking you an interview question here, sir. Can you explain what led you to this decision to have one dress standard for women, another for men?
Come on now. There wasn't two different standards. Okay. There was one email. I told the babes, excuse me, biddies, that it was important for them to look good on the television, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Look, we're doing television here. This isn't the New York freaking Times, okay? This is local television news, all right?
Okay, but they're also journalists and reporters, and
okay,
it's also
yeah.
freaking freezing in Chicago in January.
Right, that's the truth. You know what else is the truth? Broads, excuse me, chicks look better with their hair done nice, okay?
Well, your hair...
I see a hat covering up that hair.
Your hair's not going to look nice if you're dead from hypothermia.
Oh, okay, yeah. Because we're asking them to do a stand-up for what, an hour and a half? No, it's like 3 minutes. Just tough it out. Jeez.
Right.
You know, if I get a dame out there, excuse me, if I get some hoochie out there, I want to make sure that she looks good to the home viewers who are watching trying to get a little eye candy. You know what I'm saying?
Maybe yeah, they should be getting the news. Maybe they should be getting the actual report from where that reporter is from and not worried about what she's looking like with the hat as snow is raining down on her head.
Look, if I wanted news, if I wanted facts, if I wanted someone to do in-depth reporting, I'd hire an ugly broad, okay? Let's face it. Excuse me. A hose beast.
Oh, no. Would you ever hire an ugly broad to do the news?
Of course not. Who does that? Take a look at any local news channel. You think you see a lot of ugly people on your news?
Right, but I mean, isn't
hey,
the
let me tell you, I got two words for you. Fox News. They got 47 blondes there, all identical. All of them hate Obama. Nobody cares because they got great cans and they got great hair. No hats on Fox News, my friend. Come on, nah.
Well, he's not wrong.
That's true. But shouldn't you aspire to something better? I mean, you're representing a great city. Why not hire the best people to do the job to report the news that's important to Channel 32 viewers instead
that's
of
what,
wearing...
I'm telling you what's important to Channel 32 viewers, for Christ's sake. You know, if they wanted the news, they'd read the Sun Times, for God's sake. What they want to do, they want to see a nice-looking toots, excuse me, trick out there doing a little news, standing up there with a nice little microphone, looking trim, looking busty, with some nice freaking hair, okay? Look, I'd have them do it topless if I could.
Well, I don't think that's going to happen. What about men, though, covering up their luxurious locks? That
well,
doesn't bother you?
Hey, here's a little news flash for you, Jimmy Olsen. Let me tell you something. I don't even have any news reporters out there in the field that are men. How about that? How about now I'm freaking the Gloria Allred, okay? Now I'm Mr. Feminist because all I hire are broads. Excuse me, split tails.
So no men out there. That's wow.
No, just girl. I got three broads. Pigeons out there, and all they do is they stand there and look good and say, "Hey, it's cold, isn't it? Look at this snow." Jeez, a moron could do this job. I ask them one thing. What do one thing? Look nice. Okay? Be a yummy mummy. That's all I ask about.
Well, I think...
I don't hire no woofers. I don't hire no men.
I think there's going to continue to be some blowback. I frankly wouldn't be surprised if you lose your job over this,
well,
Mr. Salamone.
Well, I'll tell you something. If I lose my job, you're going to see a lot less attractive women out there. When you're looking at some grizzly chicken out there, excuse me, Philly flange, reporting the news for you in Chicago, don't blame me if you got some butterface telling you how cold it is, okay?
All right.
Come
hey,
on
listen.
Now.
Sorry about your bears, but thanks for joining us on the show here today.
Don't you start with my, I'll kick your ass.
Ladies and gentlemen, always a thrill to welcome comedian, podcaster,
not quite comedy legend yet, but working on it. Jimmy Pardo is here, ladies and gentlemen. Jimmy Pardo!
There's no reason to do the anti-sell. Why did that happen?
That's how Bean does it.
But he's a fan
Yes, but he still has to throw in a backhanded compliment. He has to do that.
What I'm saying is you're well on your way to being comedy legend. Keep at it, son. I think you've got something.
Okay,
That's what I'm saying, Jimmy.
Quote Hamilton, I'm not your son!
All right, now listen. I will say this. I listened to Thank You, Bean, or whatever it's called.
And that podcast being right.
And, did you know?
Oh no!
And for you to say the backhanded compliment, you give compliments to a fan podcast of a podcast.
Yes.
So how do I get the shiv where these two clowns? They're probably nice people. Who just talk about a podcast get more accolades than I just got.
I didn't hear it. Who were they? What were they talking about?
I don't know.
Let's not get bogged down in the weeds. On that.
So that means it's important to get bogged down.
Okay.
No, my point is that Jimmy Pardo is a near great. That's what I'm saying. But I feel like your best days are still ahead of you, Jimmy.
Let's hope so. For the love of God, let's hope so.
It's so good to see you. And I'm so glad you mentioned Hamilton. I have a bunch of things that I wanted to talk to you about.
I'm more than happy to help.
Because I do, I do follow stalk your life. I follow your life and career from afar. How many times have you seen Hamilton now?
I have now seen it, and boy, this makes me sound like a jet setter. I've seen it four times in four different cities.
Wow!
Every city it's been in, I've seen it.
That's really impressive.
New York, Chicago, San Francisco, Los Angeles.
Very tough ticket.
Yeah, but when you're, when you're somewhat of a legend, able to get tickets. When you're near celebrity, apparently.
You're on your way. On your way.
Thank you.
Yes. The show that you were at the other day. Now it's in Los Angeles right now. This is big news. Maybe people haven't even heard. Where's it? Where's it in town, Jimmy?
It's at the Pantages. I am not a cast member. I should point that. I don't know. I don't know if they need my help selling tickets. I think they're doing just fine.
It's sold out.
You don't play Aaron Burr. You're not that guy.
Oh, I would love to. I would. There'd be walkouts and refunds for the first time ever. But yeah, so, we weren't happy to.
It's in town through December 30th. Hamilton, the hottest show probably of the 21st. Century, mm-hmm. I would imagine. And the performance that you were at the other day was the one that Lin-Manuel Miranda was also at?
No, I understand he's coming this week.
This week,
for the hard opening. I guess this was the soft opening.
Oh, I see.
We
okay.
went Saturday afternoon. I took my mother and my son and my wife. We all went out there and saw it, and everybody loved it. And but more importantly,
Do you know Lin?
I met him when I went to the New York, when Danielle and I went to see it in New York. My friend John Ross Bowie was nice enough to connect Lin and I, and spent a little time back. He's a huge comedy fan, so he
is he?
He came out of the backstage area, and he's like, the comic's comic! And gave me a big hug and started quoting my bits, and it was pretty cool. He then said, you're a legend, Jimmy Pardo.
Did he give you a backhanded compliment?
Yeah, no, not at all.
No.
I made eye contact. It was very nice.
Right. What is it about Hamilton that makes you keep going back time after time? Because let's face it, there are lots of other shows you could go see. Why do you keep going to this one?
Well, I see other ones as well, but it's just, I love musicals. I'm a musical theater nerd, and but there's, Anthony Rapp, who was, of course, in Rent, Broadway royalty, he was the, when it was first on, I think it was off-Broadway, he said, you got to see Hamilton when it comes, and I listened to the soundtrack the day it came out and just immediately fell in love with it, and bumped down JC Superstar and Les Mis to the 2 and 3 hole.
Oh.
And Hamilton's now in the top spot. I rank all my things. I have little countdowns at the
do
house.
Do you? Because Bean does the exact same thing. Everything has to be in a list.
Yeah.
Top five, top three, whatever.
Here's what I'm learning about the Go Get Yourself a Sandwich Bean podcast, whatever it's called. Bean and I have so many. Even though the whole reason we connected was we have a lot in common.
Right.
We really have a lot in common.
You do.
It's crazy.
Like what? What did you hear on his podcast that you think you have in common?
I too am obsessed about the eclipse. I'm obsessed about it.
Okay. He's got
eclipse fever.
He's been talking about eclipse fever now for a year and a half, though.
I may not be that obsessed.
I mean, that's a little too far out.
I'm into it, yet I'm panicked that my glasses will not arrive in time. I'm in a panic.
And you've got plenty of time. You got another week still.
Yeah, but you know what? I ordered them last week, and the outfit's right in Woodland Hills.
Oh.
The outfit, apparently, I'm a 98-year-old man.
The outfit's
right here, local.
Okay, but Jimmy, I have to ask then, if you are as into the eclipse as I am, because this is what I'm struggling with.
I may not be that into it as you.
Well,
go ahead.
If I want to see the eclipse the way God intended, which is in the path of totality, then I need to take next Monday off and drive to Oregon, okay? What are you going to do? Are you just going to settle for the weak-ass 62% in Southern California?
I'm going to go 62% and call it a day, exactly.
Really?
I'm not. Listen, I've wasted money on theater tickets. I can't fly somewhere to watch the sun.
I'll listen to Bonnie Tyler on my lawn and be happy with it.
So you just, you'll step outside for 5 minutes and go, yep, there it is. Then you go back to your life.
Won't that still be neat? It's like when the shuttle landed here in Los Angeles and, you know, it flew over, you know, my son's school and we waved at it and got a nice charge and then moved on with our lives.
And it's about a 45-second thing and then you're good.
And it's great. You right. go, hey, did you see it? Yeah, amazing. And then you move on and, you know, hope to God the world doesn't
The problem happen. Is Bean doesn't just talk about the eclipse. He talks about the eclipse fever. So he'll say things like, it's everywhere. You can't avoid it. And then Allie and I are like, no one said anything. I've heard of it. No.
Nobody, I agree
it's
with that.
It's starting to ramp up now.
But it should now because it's a week up.
Right, exactly.
But I agree with Bean that it should, and I agree with you. Nobody's talking about it, okay, but it ahead. Should be talked about.
Okay. So you agree with both of us somehow?
Yes.
Okay, good.
That's possible.
It sounds to me like you have eclipse fever.
Here it comes.
Eclipse.
Right? I have it. My favorite part, if I may, I'll plug your podcast. I'll be all positive.
Go ahead.
When you said to your buddy, sounds like double eclipse fever, that made me laugh. Sounds like you have double eclipse fever. Yeah.
Well, I never intended for you, a professional comedian, to ever hear my dumb little podcast, but thank you for that.
I enjoy this program, and I enjoy the side projects.
And we should also mention Jimmy's very popular podcast, one of the first in the world, by the way, Never Not Funny, available at nevernotfunny.com. And this would be an easy transition to talk about the big day Never Not Funny's having today, right? So you're doing the regular show this afternoon, and then you're doing a live show for the people this afternoon later.
Yeah, we got a doubleheader. I would say day-night, but I guess it's not. Day-twilight, we got the...
We're playing two. That's the point.
We're playing two. We're going to Ernie Banks this thing. We're going to, we got the studio, which is fine. That'll come out Wednesday night. And then 5 p.m., we're going to be at the Flappers Comedy Club in Burbank as part of the Burbank Comedy Festival. Our second time there as part of the festival. We were there last year. Very successful. We made fun of the fact that it was a 5 o'clock start last time, mm-hmm. and it was great.
Really?
And so hopefully...
you were all panicked about how there wouldn't be anyone there yet because they were still coming from work? Yes, of course. Of course, that's a crazy time.
I'm more panicked this year because of the fact, like, last year was a success.
Right.
A lot of people are going to go, man, we saw last year.
It can only go downhill from here?
Well, all of my career can only do that.
Do you have any announced guests for the 5 p.m.?
You know what? There'll be no guests at this one. It'll be an in-house Never Not Funny cast show. And
Well, you've got a great team around you, so I think people will love it anyway.
And if anybody that shows up is getting going to get something from the Never Not Funny prize closet. That's our way to get people there at 5 o'clock.
All right. What type of high-quality item can
they
get?
Well, we've got leftover Never Not Funny hats from previous seasons. We've got we've got some Stallone in a bottles, the Stallone in a bottle water bottle. What that is if you subscribe one season, you got a water bottle that has a picture of a caricature of Sylvester Stallone on the side,
right?
With a quote of "Well, you're being that guy," which stemmed from when I was out in the Arclight in Sherman Oaks and saw around the corner. Here comes Sylvester Stallone in his boots. And and then being taller than me, which was amazing to me how tiny he is.
He's
I'm
really
a tiny man.
Short, yes.
But he was in boots that I think Gene Simmons may have handed him at one point. they had some lift to him. And then
he's
this other guy,
stilts.
Right? He comes around the corner, this kid, and goes, look, I don't want to be that guy. And Sylvester Stallone goes, yeah, but you're being that guy. And the guy goes, no, I'm not being that guy. And Stallone keeps going, yeah, but you're being that guy. And he goes, but yeah, but I'm not being that guy. But by that, you're being that guy.
Oh,
and,
no.
And it kept going in a circle, and the guy was never going to let Stallone off the hook. And then Stallone goes, well, good to meet you. And then I don't do voices.
So no, I sounded just like him.
Did you think he was in the room?
Absolutely.
I do a character
Close
on the
by,
show
just
called...
for a second.
Stallone in a bottle, where I was talking, I was doing that story into a bottle, and it sounded like Stallone was caught in the bottle. So then we made a bottle of Stallone in a bottle. So you could get that, yes.
Okay. I've subscribed to your podcast now, and I've got nothing. I didn't get a hat, an old hat. I didn't get a Sylvester Stallone bottle. What's
you have
happening?
To subscribe to the Players Club to get the trinkets.
Players Club.
That's right. That's the second episode that we do each week.
I see.
All right. Yeah. We got to take a quick break. Our friend Jimmy Pardo is here, comedian and podcaster. By the way, 5 o'clock this afternoon, BurbankComedyFestival.com is where you want to go. Now, Jim, this is a very important distinction here because this festival is a huge deal with lots of very funny people on it. Can people buy a ticket just to come see you this afternoon, or do they have to be all in for the whole festival?
I believe they can buy tickets for just our show. In fact, I recommend
minutes showing up at 4:50, get in line, and then 2 minutes later, you'll be set.
That is Flappers Comedy Club this afternoon at 5. More with our guest, Jimmy Pardo, when we return on K-Rock.
Comedian, podcaster Jimmy Pardo in studio with us back again on the Kevin and Bean Show. See him this afternoon at 5 at Flappers Comedy Club, part of the 4th Annual Burbank Comedy Festival. It's going to be a fun show, burbankcomedyfestival.com. Jimmy, you were talking about something the other day that I'm so glad we get to have you in to discuss, because we were talking about it when the Dunkirk movie came out.
Yeah.
All the articles about the different formats that it was being released in. And I can't tell I haven't seen it yet, but I can't tell the difference between one format and another format. Is it true that you've seen the movie in every format available?
No, I've seen it three times in three different cities. That's how I handle any project I did. I think that might actually be a true statement, but I've seen Dunker three times.
There's the 70mm, and then there's the regular one, right? It came out in a million different formats.
You're right. I've seen movie, it, right? IMAX, 70mm, and then I think digital, EX, or whatever they call that.
And was IMAX just Head and Shoulders?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. It's crystal clear, and you feel like you're in it. Like, as lame as it sounds, there's a scene where, like, the wave hits the camera and, like, sprays it, and you kind of feel like you got sprayed with water. Like, it really...
Maybe somebody in front of you was spraying
somebody
you
may
water.
Have sneezed. Yeah. You're not... That makes a great point. Kevin, you know what? That clears everything up. I then was sick for a week and a half. It's the influenza. It was beautiful. It's a beautiful movie, and I loved it. And
same.
You love it?
Yeah, crazy.
But my
crazy
fear
good.
Is, though, that... Remember when TVs started changing from being square to being more rectangle, and then you started realizing, oh my God, they've been cutting off the sides of the pictures for so long. Mm-hmm. There's so much we haven't been able to see. My fear is that that's what's happening in the movie theaters, is that a lot of people are going to this film, seeing it on a regular screen, and are seeing 60% of the movie.
You know what I think, though? I think that what you're missing is just more soldiers off to the side. I really do. It's like, it seems to be like just lines of people that,
so
like,
it's not necessary?
I think you should, because it's a beautiful picture. Right. Did you see it in IMAX?
I did not, and I wanted to, but I saw it in 70mm.
Which is beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, Allie, where was the article that you read about this?
I think it was on Slate.
Slate.
Yeah, that's where I saw it.
Yeah, really good.
And they show
no
the various...
What it all encompassed, and to see what you're missing is shocking, and I don't think it's just soldiers over to the side.
I was trying to make people feel better about not having
they
seen
shouldn't.
It in that format.
They're missing whole scenes.
Just a love story happening off to the side that we're missing when they shrink it up. They could have used a love story, that movie. But
well,
I mean, I'm not positive it would have fit, but okay.
Not at all, but why not? Throw a little love in there. There are sure a lot of British people in that movie, aren't there, though, Jimmy?
Yes, and very hard to understand.
Sure.
That was rough. It doesn't matter. When you saw it in 70mm, was it not the loudest experience as well?
I love loud movies. I know that sounds stupid, but I like movies that have really great sound.
And this wasn't too loud for you?
No.
Oh, I thought it was a little loud.
It can't
loud.
Be loud enough for me.
You,
I love
it. Hey, if it's too loud, you're too old, right?
Gene Simmons said that once.
No free rides. Now, listen. I loved it. I loved it. That's all I'll say.
Okay.
All you right. loved it so much you took a 9-year-old to see it.
Okay. Now, listen. Some fathering is questionable. I don't disagree with that.
Kevin, would you take a 9-year-old to see Dunkirk?
Of course not. I'm a human being that has common sense.
I thought it was time. Listen.
Wow. I'm just kidding.
I am a soon-to-be legend, and I will not tolerate that kind of talk.
Okay, good.
At 9, it's about time your son learned about war, right?
I think he learned about war, the throes of war, the fact that here's the thing.
It wasn't so much war as just a straight slaughter. I mean, that's really
what it wasn't even that. I thought it was character. I thought you were about to side with me,
no,
by the way.
No,
I got excited.
Nothing.
You see my face?
I was.
Jumped it. Wait,
I was.
You
was.
Saw
that's
my
it.
Face.
Oh.
Oh, getting insulted, it turns out.
Son, I want to talk to you about Carnage.
Yeah. I thought it was a character. I saw it. I'd seen it twice before I brought my son. I thought it was a nice character piece, and he would learn about... Yeah, people.
How worthless the French are?
Those are your words, not mine. I enjoy a croissant. I can't tolerate that.
I'm saying in that movie.
I saw Jaws when I was 9. So,
okay.
You know, I thought that maybe he could see this. And I, you know, I saw Halloween when I was 10, and I saw, you know,
it's important to pass
to
down
kill.
Terrible parenting. That's important to
they
pass
were,
it down from generation to generation.
It was a different time, I'm discovering. I don't know. I've come here. I've subjected myself from the get-go from insults. From insults?
To insults.
I know how to support a sentence. Right. I was making fun of myself, and you are not helping.
All right. What other item?
I feel like you're having fun here today, Jimmy.
What's that? I'm getting attacked from all sides. Even off the air, I was offered food that will never arrive by the time I'm here. The whole thing's a gag today.
One other item of business I wanted to take care of with Mr. Pardo.
You don't know this, Jimmy, but you something that you tweeted, we jumped off. We used that as a jumping off point for a phone topic last week.
My pleasure.
Do you remember the tweet that you put about the guy in prison? Explain to his cellmate what he was in there for. Do you
yes.
remember that tweet from last week? What was it?
I overheard a gentleman say, happy wifey, happy lifey.
Right, exactly. And by the way, you'd be justified in mowing that person down for somebody
right?
who said that.
Oh.
So we saw that, and we went on the air, and we talked about that, and we talked about how everybody has an expression, something that people say that just drives you crazy. And I wanted to run a couple of them by you
yeah.
that the listeners came up with and see where you stand on these.
Okay. Do I give you a ranking of some sort? One, not so bad. Five, annoys the heck out of me?
Sure.
Sure. You can do that if you want. All right, here's some of the ones
that are... A lot of them are stuff we say, by the way.
Yes. Oh, yeah. We were definitely guilty of a lot of these. How do you feel about the very popular, especially lately, expression, sorry, not sorry?
Oh, I don't like that. That's a... What was my ranking? Five?
One, not so
That's
much.
A four.
Five.
That's a four.
Okay. Four, okay.
You're right. Not going to mow him down, but
no,
you might throw a punch.
You'll yeah. All right. How about people who constantly say, you know what I'm saying, or you know what I mean, after almost every sentence?
No, Craig. You know, I say that as a character, so I got no problem.
But you do it to sort of be funny, to make fun of that.
Yeah, I think I do. I think I
You're
do.
Not positive.
My wife may disagree with that.
Yeah. All right.
You know, actually, what I say is, you know what I mean by that. That's what I say. So I do it. It is. It's like, yeah, so I'm going to go to McDonald's and get a sandwich. You know what I mean by that? Yes. There's nothing. There's no question as to what you said.
It's very clear.
Right. Yeah, very clear.
If it's meant to be, it's meant to be.
Oh, no, pass. That's a hard pass. That's a five.
That, by the way, really. Is the stepbrother of It Is What It Is from the same family.
And that
my
one,
least favorite.
I'll go to seven on that one.
Oh, seven? There's no seven. Thank
I know.
There's
that's how much seven. I hate it.
Wow.
It is what it is. At the end of the day, Jimmy.
Yeah. Oh, no. End of the day. And then put that with, what's the other one? What's the brother to that one?
Is it, if I'm being honest?
No.
No, but that's another good one.
No, it's another business. Well, at the end of the day.
After it's all said and done?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. End of the day, right. I can't stand it. It reminds me of the original.
What about
Apprentice.
To be honest? He just brought that one out. If I'm going to be honest, or I'm just being honest.
Yeah.
Not bad. Two or three.
I don't like it. Okay. Two or three. I like how you're embracing.
I'm trying to pick it out on your scale.
All right. Here's one, Jimmy, that I'm going to guess you use, but use to be funny, ironically, to make fun of those who use it seriously.
Boy,
that is
too.
Sunday Funday.
Oh, no. I won't even say it. No.
Really?
It's so dumb.
I don't even, not even for fun.
All right, Sunday funny. And the sister of that would be Case of the Mondays. Any?
Oh, zero. Two, zero.
Not even not zero as it doesn't bother you.
No. Go the other
way. So five.
It is a zero. My ranking system's a mess.
Come on, Jimmy.
It's a mess.
You said one was least offensive, five is most offensive.
But then I remember that I say zero all the time, so I've ruined everything.
I worked a seven and a zero.
I worked at MCA back in the, MCA Records back in the 80s, and a woman came in and said, boy, you look nice today. And I was like, oh, thank you. She goes, too much for a Monday? And ever since, it was like the first time I heard somebody say that. And so, yes, boy, do I hate that. Yeah. I hate it.
Okay. All right, a couple more. Give 110%.
Who cares? Enjoy. Do your best.
So
get out there.
So one.
Yeah, that's
one,
a one.
One that just came up in my social media feed on Friday, and I'd love to see it get going, but I was slapped down hard, and I want to know if I can count on your support for, it's not just Friday, it's Fry-yay.
Oh, no.
Wait, you're right? Trying to start that?
You want that?
Yeah, I want Friday to happen.
On Friday.
That's the worst.
On Friday, I did a poll.
I can't with you're, the so, Friday.
So it's not just one that you've recognized in speech in public. It's you're trying to start it.
Yeah. No. I didn't come up with it, but I saw Friday was trending briefly on Friday, and I thought, that's awesome, and I love it, and I was hoping that it would catch
How
fire.
How can you love that but hate all of the other ones we've talked about?
So far, people are shoveling dirt on it. It doesn't look like it's going to survive.
Because it's horrible. So. And by the way, put Bean back on the mic.
Right?
Who's this guy that likes Fry-yay?
Right?
I'm unsubscribing to I Once Had a Hot Meal with Bean podcast.
All right. We are out of time, Jimmy. Let's run
sense.
Down the events of this afternoon for us again, if you would, please.
Well, the one that matters to the people that are out there, please come to Flappers at 5 p.m. We're doing a live Never Not Funny. Me and Matt Belknap and Elliot and Garen, our whole cast will be out there. And more importantly, if you show up, you get a prize from the prize closet.
Oh, that's pretty sweet.
So you're going to get something for your effort. Will it be a T-shirt? Will it be a hat? Will it be a bottle? You don't know. 5 o'clock flappers.
BurbankComedyFestival.com, NeverNotFunny.com as well, and follow Jimmy on Twitter, as I do, at Jimmy Pardo. There he is, ladies and gentlemen. The new legend, Jimmy Pardo. Thanks for coming by.
Money!
Your chance to win tickets for night number two, the sold-out night number two of the 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas, happening in less than 1 hour from right now. Speaking of Christmas, by the way, we attempted to come up with a list of our favorite Christmas songs on the air the other day, and I would say failed pretty badly.
I think it went pretty well.
We were trying to get a consensus on a top five greatest Christmas songs of all time. And clearly, we were doomed from the start because neither Kevin nor Ralph would put Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You on the list. So therefore, the entire list is lame.
Says the loser.
But then the other problem is, as our listeners pointed out, is how do you talk about the greatest Christmas music of all time and not include Fruitcake? There was not a mention of Fruitcake in the entire discussion.
Yeah.
No Fruitcake, No Peace, right?
Yeah, it's pretty solid.
That's an awesome song.
It's pretty solid.
Yeah.
It is our favorite, and around this time of year, we start getting emails and tweets and Facebook page requests for a little Fred Schneider Fruitcake. Could we hear some of that, please? And then maybe we need to talk about some of the other great Christmas songs that we didn't get a chance to do when we were putting our list together.
We did only come up with four of the top five, by the way.
Now, you hated this originally, Kevin, but I think you have come around, right?
What you making? Fruitcake! What you baking? Fruitcake. Candy cherries. Red dye number two. Green cherries. Green ones too. It's fruitcake.
No, you know, I didn't like Fred Schneider that much, but this is genius.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's fruitcake. Pecans or walnuts.
Start listing things.
Citrus peel. Lots of stuff.
Lots of stuff.
And what you feel. Sticks of butter, cinnamon, mo' molasses, lots of dark rum, artificial color,
okay,
artificial flavor.
So it's really just a shopping
list. If your family don't want it, exactly. Give it to a neighbor. It's fruitcake. It's fruitcake.
Pretty
what
tough to make. Pretty tough
to beat right there. So that was, heard from a lot of people that said, hey guys, what about Fred Schneider? And then we heard from another contingent of listeners who, you know, God bless him, been with the show for a while, who said, hey, it's not Christmas for me until I hear a little story about Santa on a helicopter. Where was Wing on your list?
Wing is a beautiful song about Santa Claus on a helicopter, not a traditional sleigh cart. Santa Claus!
There it is. There it is.
A helicopter. Santa Claus!
Boy, that's painful.
On a helicopter.
You know what we should do, Bean, and I think this might be part of the problem, is we put one comedy song in our top five. Mm-hmm. Maybe we should take that out, finish our top five greatest songs, and then do top five funniest Christmas
songs.
That's
a good idea. Oh, I see.
And then you can put Fruitcake in there, and you can put Wing in there. Like, otherwise, we don't have room for it.
Well, I think Fruitcake makes the cut either way, but I take your point. Sure, why not?
Santa Claus, he visits us today, December 24th. Wow, he's coming right now in an helicopter. Not a traditional sleigh cart.
Sleigh cart. She really wants to make that point. Listen, this is how it works. He uses a helicopter, not a traditional
sleigh cart. Because we all call it a sleigh cart.
Right.
He lives in the front yard. Of a nursery.
Of a nursery.
All the babies crying for moms. He feeds them well if they are hungry.
Now, we're not positive what she says there.
We're positive what she doesn't say, though, right? I know it sounds like that, but she doesn't say that.
But if it's what I heard,
it's no way to treat a baby. That's what I have to say.
That's correct.
All right, so that's a wing, Santa on a Helicopter, which, again, is an all-time Christmas classic. Now, I would like to present for your entertainment a new song this year that I just became hip to, that I a band I've never heard of out of the Netherlands. They are named Holy Limit. Now, this is new for this year. Whether this will eventually make the Christmas canon, whether this is going to be part of our all-time favorite holiday songs in the future on the Kevin and Bean Show, I don't know. But I wanted you to hear a little bit of their song called The Christmas Dance. Very catchy, very Gangnam style.
Do the Christmas dance.
Oh, oh, oh. Like it so far.
I am back in town with my glitter crown. I'll be back every year. Everybody wants to cheer. White beard and Christmas hat, my reindeers. Just like that, I ring-a-ling-a-ling, ring-a-ling-a-ling with my Christmas bell. I'm Santa Claus. I'm Santa Claus. I'm Santa Claus.
He's Santa Claus.
Yeah.
I'm Santa Claus.
Backup singer.
I'm Santa Claus. I'm Santa Claus. Santa Claus is back in town. You can stop the countdown. Now dance the Christmas dance. Just like it's the last chance.
The Christmas dance. What do you think?
Oh, oh, oh.
I love it. I love it. Uh-huh. I feel a butt coming on.
Well, I think the other two are better than we played so far.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Let's do a little bit more.
Christmas here, Christmas there, weeks, months, every year. Candles, balls, and lots of joy. The snowman is a boy. The presents under the tree. Angels for you and me. I ring-a-ling-a-ling, ring-a-ling-a-ling with my Christmas bell.
All right, so it's no Fruitcake, it's no Santa on a Helicopter, but we play it at the party, right? It makes the party.
Absolutely. By the way, all three of the songs that we just played do nothing but, like, just explain items at Christmas time.
That's right. They're just basically lists.
Reading things that are loosely associated with Christmas. So all good.
Less than 1 hour from right now, we will hook you up with tickets for K-Rock's Grammy Party. We're talking about an intimate performance by Death Cab for Cutie Saturday night at the Grammy Museum at LA Live. You can get all the details and another chance to win at krock.com. Right now, though, it's vagina time. I'm looking for an excuse to play that theme song for vagina time, but Kevin, you're going to introduce us to an intimacy coach.
Well, she's an intimacy coach, but she's also a vagina weightlifter.
All right.
She's a weightlifter with her vagina.
You fascinate me. Tell me more.
Sex and relationship coach Kim Anami is a woman with a very hidden talent. She's a pro at vaginal weightlifting.
Now, did anyone know that that was a category?
I thought there maybe were amateurs, but not sure anyone had surpassed that.
She's a pro.
To become a pro.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is the vaginal weightlifting apparatus that I use. It's actually jade carved into the shape of an egg. There's a hole drilled through it. The thread or string comes down, and then that's where we affix, tie the objects onto the end of, and then we lift. I can lift skateboards, coconuts.
Whoa. I like that she started with skateboards, and then she went backward to coconuts.
Okay. If you can explain this to me in a way that is allowed on the radio,
okay.
What is she? Wait, these items are being held by a string.
Yes.
What is she attaching it to on the other end?
It's a jade egg.
Yeah, it's like
it's an egg. So she's squeezing down on an egg, yes. And then I gotcha. Okay, gotcha.
And then she's lifting things.
That seems
all
difficult
kinds
to do.
Of tropical fruit.
She can do tropical
all
fruit.
Kinds.
All kinds. You got a coconut? I'll lift it.
Mango?
She doesn't care. Mango, I'll lift that.
Kim now practices what she calls her vaginal kung fu.
Vaginal kung fu is the best band name ever.
It really is. Chip, get on that.
Up to 5 times a week and claims that the effects of having a vice-like vagina are nothing short of miraculous.
All right, now she's going to tell us how it has helped her that she's able to do this with her vagina.
Okay, now stop.
Okay.
Allie, you're a woman.
Yes.
Ish.
Thank
woman
you.
Woman adjacent. Female adjacent.
I am actually a woman. Yeah.
What could the advantage be of being able to lift a skateboard with your vagina?
I imagine it's strengthening those pelvic muscles. And if you've got, the same reason people do Kegels, I would assume. You're strengthening those muscles. Therefore, you're going to have maybe more sensation during intercourse.
Right. So you think the reason she does it is because it makes sex feel better?
Yeah. I don't think she's, lifting weights to be like, yeah, CrossFit, this is what I do.
That
I think it's,
or this.
Women can across the room with a strong PC muscle.
I'm sorry?
Well, we can't really explain further.
Huh.
But then she goes on that there are other things, other ways that this helps you.
I've had clients who were Botox users stop using Botox because the lines in their face began to be erased.
Okay, so
what?
Oh,
if you lift weights with your vagina,
uh-huh,
you no longer have to use Botox because the lines in your face are gone.
I don't understand the correlation.
I don't either.
Yeah, how would that even work?
I don't know, but that's
maybe because you're not frowning as much because you're having such better sex.
Maybe, I guess.
Okay. It's science.
It's a stretch.
Let's hear some more.
I think that she's opening up a door to women exploring their sexuality, the sensuality, and the power of the vagina. And it is something that's so repressed in our society. I think she's doing something physically and mentally and socially that's a good thing.
Kim travels the world extolling the virtues of vaginal weightlifting and posts pictures of her training on her Instagram page. Hashtag things I lift with my vagina.
Did you have any idea that that hashtag existed?
I did not. I did not.
Today, she's at Venice Beach in California, showcasing her pelvic power.
Now, I want you to listen to the guy that's hitting on her in this particular video.
So I just attached a surfboard, and I'm lifting a surfboard with my vagina.
First of all, I don't know why. She's on an airplane at the same time. I don't know what's going on there.
And it's earning her a fair amount of attention.
When people see me out in public practicing my lifting of different objects, they tend to be amused. Their jaws drop, or they are very, very intrigued and supportive and encouraging. Like, you go, girl.
Okay. If you saw a woman weightlifting with her vagina, would you say you go, girl?
I would not.
I would not, but she's doing this out in public.
Yes.
So
yes.
I'm wondering,
she's covered.
Okay.
But then you see the string and the surfboard. And then people say, you go, girl. Or,
I think this girl looks great. What's your number?
Wow.
That you could get that quality of guy if you weightlift with your vagina.
But potential suitors should be careful what they wish for.
Wow.
I have heard of a friend of mine knew a woman in Thailand who put three men in the hospital because she didn't know her own strength.
All right, that seems unlikely. That seems unlikely, though, doesn't it?
I'm just trying to help in case you didn't get that, but wow.
Thank you for explaining. Thank you for explaining the most obvious part of that whole thing. She does good work.